Wednesday. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under overcast conditions, we have 76 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 75 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
We are people of all ages, from different walks of life. We have hopes and dreams, but live in a reality filled with pain. We are the family and friends of alcoholics. We struggle to keep the peace, to make things right. But our lives are not our own. They are controlled by someone else's drinking. We may be different, but we have one thing in common. We want our lives back. If you need help, call Al-Anon and Alateen at 1-888-4-ALANON or visit our website at www.alanon.alateen.org. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
Hello, this is Jimmy Carter. Since 1982, Habitat for Humanity has been building houses and hope in the countries of Asia. But for hundreds of thousands of people, hope turned to despair last December when a tsunami struck. Lives, families, villages, entire communities were swept away. And those who survived the tragedy found their ways of life changed forever. When the water receded, Habitat was there, assessing the damage and making plans to rebuild. Today, Habitat building centers are being established to provide jobs, to teach new skills, and to offer people the dignity to rebuild not only their houses, but their lives. Our commitment, as always, is long-term, and we will build more than 35,000 houses in India, Sri Lanka, Thailand, and Indonesia over the next 2 years. I urge you to join me and support the work of Habitat for Humanity in your own community and around the world. Visit Habitat.org.
Hi, I'm Bob Vila. If you like to get your hands dirty, working in the yard or gardening, you should know that you could get a serious, even fatal disease, tetanus. Because all it takes is an open wound, a scratch, a cut, or even a small splinter. And the tetanus bacteria in this, the soil in your yard. Maybe you were vaccinated as a child, but childhood vaccines wear off. Maybe you wear gloves to help reduce injuries, but you need a routine shot every 10 years to prevent both tetanus and diphtheria, another potentially fatal disease. So get the TD booster shot. Contact your healthcare provider to find out if your vaccination is up to date. If it's been 10, do it again. A public service message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station. To learn more, visit www.nfid.org.
Next, on Mondays at 9, we visit with renowned Hollywood filmmaker Robert Greenwald. He brought us the documentary on the Fox News Network, and his latest effort blows the doors off the world's biggest retail chain. Bad labor practices, retaliatory tactics, steamrolling the competition, putting its own employees on public aid rolls to avoid paying benefits, all part of how Walmart became number one in America. The High Cost of Low Pricing, the soon-to-be-released documentary directed by Robert Greenwald, our guest on the next edition of Mondays at 9. Time now for another edition of The Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609. That is my fax, and if you want my toll-free long-distance number, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. In the 6:30 hour, we're going to have the president of a Trans Africa Forum, Bill Fletcher. He's going to be on the show, and he's going to be talking about the G8 summit, and he's going to be talking about what Africa got. It'll probably be a very short conversation. My name is Liz Brown. You want to stay tuned for the next half an hour worth of the wake-up call and well beyond. You can also catch my site. Remember, I just have the first page of my site up. This is that the launching is on August 1st. We're going to have the bells and the whistles and all of the stuff that go along with that on August 1st. But right now you can be privy to my column that runs every week. My new column is up. I want you to check it out. Precious. You need to get to the column and let me know what you think. Don't forget we broadcast, we are archived daily on the WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. Lots and lots and lots of hits over the weekend. It was astounding. We did really well. We did really, really, really well over the weekend. Folks are taking the time out to find out about the wake-up call. So check it out. All right. Where do we begin? Where do we begin? I want to go to Baghdad. I want to go to Baghdad, and then I want to... let me do it this way. What is that? What's that phrase? Huh. Is it a cheater never quits? Is that what the phrase is? Winners never quit or cheaters never quit? I think it's cheaters never quit. Check this out. In the months before the Iraqi elections in January, George W. Bush approved a plan to provide covert support to certain Iraqi candidates and political parties. Cheaters never quit. Cheaters never quit. Now, this issue was nixed because of congressional opposition. But the New Yorker magazine, through its reporter Seymour Hersh, says that the administration proceeded with the covert plan over congressional objections. Several senior Bush administration officials disputed that, although they did recall renewed discussion with the administration last fall about how the United States might counter what was seen as an extensive Iranian support to the pro-Iranian Shiite parties. You know, you go with what you know, don't you? You go with what you know. This administration knows, you can cheat. You can cheat to get in. You cheat and you do get in. You go with what you know. So, of course, they were trying to cheat to get who they wanted in office. The article cites former military and intelligence officials who said that the administration had gone ahead with covert election activities in Iraq that were conducted by retired CIA officers and other non-governmental personnel, and they used funds that were not necessarily appropriated by Congress. Now, remember, I talked about all that money being dumped in Iraq and being hauled off in duffel bags. The millions and millions of what you think that was all going to help the Iraqi people? Check it out. They said that, and I quote, and covert election activities... What that really translated, that means how we stole the election, were conducted by retired CIA officers and other non-governmental personnel. They used funds that were not necessarily appropriated by Congress. Representative Jane Harman, the senior Democrat on the House Intelligence Commission, issued a statement saying that she could not discuss classified information, adding, Congress was consulted about the administration's posture in Iraq, and I was personally consulted. But if the administration did what is alleged, that would be a violation of covert action requirements, and that would be deeply troubling. Well, then tell it, shoot. They ain't keeping nobody's secrets. Tell it. Y'all need to quit hiding behind this. This is covert stuff. Apparently, in this administration, you don't go to jail for revealing secrets. I say there's a window of opportunity. Everybody needs to come on out on Front Street and tell it. Now, don't use anybody's name. Just say that guy over there in the blue shirt. Apparently, that's the pass that you get. Because Karl Rove is saying, I never said a name. Say my name, baby. Please say my name. No, he did not say her name. He said Mrs. Wilson, the wife of Mr. Wilson. So there's some wiggle room established by this administration. Just point and turn your head, and you haven't told any secrets. Just point and turn your head. It would be deeply troubling, you think? They cheated in the election in Iraq. Any clandestine U.S. effort to influence the Iraqi elections or to provide particular support to candidates or parties is seen as amenable to working with the United States would run counter to Bush's assertions that the vote was free and unfettered. Well, he said the same thing about his election. We won fair and square. No, you stole it fair and square. You stole it fair and square. You know, and understand that the reason why folks need to come out on Front Street, folks need to say the devil be damned, and I'm coming out on Front Street. There are no secrets when it comes to the future of this nation. There are no secrets. They need to come on out because if you don't, you have to know this. That business will continue as usual. The FBI has collected at least 3,000 pages of internal documents on the C or the ACLU. What does that tell you? The group that is supposed to be looking for terrorists has spent time looking at the ACLU. They've collected 2,883 pages on Greenpeace. Remember what folks have always said, you know? You think that they're only going to be focused on certain folks. I got to say this. Interestingly enough, they didn't collect any pages on the NAACP. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that the NAACP is not doing what it, you know, ain't doing what it needs to be doing? Why is it that you collected information on the ACLU and didn't collect it on those other group of letters, NAACP? Mm. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. The president of the ACLU said, "I am still somewhat shocked by the size of the file on us. Why would the FBI collect almost 1,200 pages on a civil rights organization engaged in lawful activity? What justification could there be other than political surveillance of First Amendment activities?" This is what the concern was articulated. This is the concern that was articulated. We live in a different time, folks. People are cheating to win. And it's going to take some brave souls out there to come forward and say no. No. No, no, no. They're keeping tabs on you all. They're keeping tabs on you all. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. In the next hour, my interns are going to be joining us. We're going to be spending an hour talking about being an intern. What's it like being an intern on a radio show, for a radio show, at a radio station? What's it like being an intern at for the wake-up call? We got all that and much, much more coming at you. The number here is 4540400. In the next half an hour, we're going to be talking to the president of Trans Africa Forum, Bill Fletcher. Much, much, much to talk about. You need to get to me. Oh, I love this song. Love this song. My name is Liz Brown. Keep your head up, baby.
Keep your head up.
Keep your head up.
Cause in the day will come. And love to the sun. Even when the darkness shall come. Oh, 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 oh.
It's real sun.
morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Fazoli's Restaurants. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchette Bridge. Major road construction has two left lanes closed. Traffic is heavy from 94 all the way to 5th Street. Eastbound 40 from Vandeventer off-ramp. Look for that to be closed until August due to construction work. You can use Kings Highway Market or Grand exits to get around the construction area. Northbound 55 between 270 and Virginia, nothing to report. Eastbound 44 from Lewis to 270, everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson all the way into Lindbergh, traffic is flowing freely this hour. Northbound 270 from Sappington to Manchester, everything's on the move. Westbound 270 from Lilac to Washington Elizabeth, look for nothing to report in your 6:30 commute. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to Lee May Ferry, everything looks good. Northbound Route 3 ramp to westbound 5570 is closed due to bridge deck repairs. Detours take eastbound 5570 and double back onto 4th Street to get back onto westbound 5570. There are no delays in that construction area at this time. The rest of your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 split at Kings Highway. At Poplar Street Bridge, look for nothing to report there. Westbound 64, 5570 split looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way on to Laclede's Landing. Everything is moving well. Arsenal at Hampton, the traffic signals have been repaired, but temporary stop signs still remain in place, so use caution as you roll up to that area. Eastbound Shoto at Grand, there's a vehicle on fire. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Fazoli's. Fazoli's is the first to celebrate. Get a 15-cent kids' meal, freeze, or chocolate chunk cookie when you build your own pasta, or get cheese or pepperoni on my pizza. For a limited time only at Fazoli's. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy skies, 40% chance of showers, high around 90. This evening, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and a low around 70. Tuesday, partly sunny with a 20% chance of showers, high around 90. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy again with a low around 70. And on Wednesday, hot and humid, high in the mid-90s. They're expecting a heat index reading of at least 100 by the afternoon on Wednesday. So use caution and just keep us tuned in. We'll let you know what's going on with that, regard to that. This hour's traffic and everything has been sponsored by Fazoli. Stick around for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Columbia Bottom Conservation Area, 801 Strodman Road in St. Louis, presents a night hike on Friday, July 22nd from 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. Join the flashlight free hike to explore the wildlife that is active after dark. For more information, call 314-877-6014. News for Night Owls from WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8, our guest will be Professor Robert Pape from the University of Chicago. His new book, The Logic of Suicide Terrorism, points out the erroneous perceptions most Americans have about the motivation behind terrorism. He says it has nothing to do with Islamic fundamentalism. Rather, it addresses the concept of foreign occupation. He also says that in 1996, Osama bin Laden said the United States had a plan to conquer Iraq, divide it into thirds, and give a portion to Israel, and do the same thing to Saudi Arabia. Are we playing right into his hands? Dying to Win with Professor Robert Pape, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Females can no longer leave their homes alone. Each time I go out, E and either a father, uncle, or cousin has to accompany me. It feels like we've gone back 50 years since the beginning of the occupation. A woman or girl out alone is at risk. An outing has to be arranged at least an hour beforehand. I state that I need to buy something or have to visit someone. Two males have to be procured, preferably large, and safety arrangements must be made in this total state of lawlessness. And always the question, but do you have to go out and buy it? Can't I get it for you? No, you can't, because the kilo of eggplant I absolutely have to select with my own hands is just an excuse to see the light of day and walk down the street. The situation is incredibly frustrating to females who work or go to college.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem. Here's what's coming up later this morning on The Wake Up Call. At 8, we'll talk to Larry Noble from the Center for Responsive Politics. He'll be giving us a primer course on what the Federal Election Commission does, or is supposed to do, and talk about why the resignation of one member, Brad Smith, could turn into a big deal. Then on Mondays at 9, producer-filmmaker Robert Greenwald returns to talk about his latest documentary that has some astounding facts behind the Walmart smiley face. All this, and it's only Monday, on The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Remember that song you sang in Sunday school? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has reached out in love to children in 20 countries on 4 continents, providing the security to help homeless children grow into confident young people, educating and training them to become effective community leaders, helping them to help others through business development. Discover how Hope for the Nations reaches out in love to the children of the world. Get involved yourself. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, a nonprofit organization turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
What's your number, baby? This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. We are archived daily at thewhiterosesociety.org. That's right. If you miss an hour, go get an hour. Don't forget to check out my website or the first page of it. We're launching officially on August 1st, but you can check out my column there at lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBROWN.com, and email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Well, the G8 summit, you remember that? That's what was happening right before the bombing in London. All kinds of response to the G8 summit. One reporter of the Interpress Service said, celebration of increased G8 aid for Africa were confined mostly to a population of 2. Rock stars Bob Geldof and Bono. What we get out of the G8 summit? Well, to have that discussion, I have with me this morning the president of a Trans Africa Forum, joining us from Washington, D.C., Mr. Bill Fletcher. Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Bill.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on the program.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So, celebrations confined to Bono and Bob Geldof. Is that about right?
It's pretty much. I mean, the commitment that came out of the G8 was for a doubling of aid by 2010. That is true. There were so many problems, though, with what actually happened, not the least being that when the bombing took place, it allowed the political right to shift gears and to begin focusing on the so-called war against terrorism as if that is of greater significance than the situation facing Africa. And I think that I found that personally very insulting.
Well, one journalist stated that Kenya has been targeted twice by terrorists, that he had lost his best village mate when terrorists attacked the U.S. embassy. It's kind of doubly insulting, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting that, and I don't want this to be misconstrued, because in no way do I want to diminish the devastation that it meant for the families. But 52 people were killed in London, and on a regular basis, the kinds of massacres and deaths that we have seen in Darfur, the Congo, and other places just simply go unnoticed. And so, I'm sorry that this happened. This was it was an atrocity; it should never have happened. On the other hand, I feel like the next time that people are talking about flying flags at half mast, we should think about them flying for the people that are dying on a daily basis in Darfur, that are being massacred in refugee camps. So I think that the bombing ended up distracting people from what was and was not taking place in the G8 summit. And the other thing that I think it's worth your listeners paying attention to was that with all of the attention concerning debt cancellation, again, there are these conditions that countries have to meet in order to have their debt canceled, and the most important being that they have to reshape their economies to conform to the dictates of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. And this is absurd. This would be like me saying to you, I'll cancel your debt, but you have to leave your significant other, you have to send your children to a school that I pick, and they have to take a curriculum that I choose. I mean, it's essentially saying that the future of these countries is out of their hands.
But you know, also I get the sense when I listen to the statements made by some of these the G8, if you will, leaders, that it's so paternalistic, it's so colonistic. You all need to first handle your corruption. Well, we haven't handled the corruption here in America.
That's right. That's right. I think you're absolutely on the money. What I have found in debating people on the right, the political right, about this, is that they keep raising the issue of corruption. And I, in turn, say, corruption now seems to be a problem for you, but when Mobutu was the dictator of the Congo, corruption wasn't a problem, even though they developed a term for his regime called a kleptocracy. It wasn't a problem then. It never seems to be a problem as long as one of these despots is on your side. The moment that they're not, or the moment that it's not convenient, like what Saddam was saying, then all of a sudden corruption becomes the big issue. Now, this is not to say that there isn't a problem of corruption. There is a problem of corruption in various parts of Africa, and in some places it's extremely serious. That said, as you pointed out, we have corruption here.
Well, wait, if I can just interrupt for one second, didn't Israel have a huge problem with corruption?
It absolutely did, and actually it's interesting that you raise Israel, because the other thing that keeps being raised when Africa is discussed is that money continues to be put into Africa, and where's it going? The countries are no closer to self-sufficiency. What's interesting about that is that the United States made a commitment to Israel beginning in 1949 for significant assistance. Israel gets something like $2 billion a year in assistance from the United States, and it's no closer to self-sufficiency than it was in 1949. So the question is, what's up?
What are the standards?
Exactly. That's the question. The standards are very relative. Standards are, we want to give you money, we give you money. If we want to say you're corrupt, you're corrupt.
When we talk about the GA summit and when we ask the question of what did Africa get out of this, you talked about how there were conditions that were placed upon them on the money that forces nations to have to do what the money, the international or the World Bank wants them to do.
That's right.
Can you be specific with some of the things? Give us a for example.
The most important is privatization. So what the IMF and the World Bank are basically saying is that irrespective of the needs of your people, irrespective of what you determine as the direction that you want to go, if you want debt cancellation, you have to privatize your economy. So industries that have been nationalized have to be denationalized, and they have to be sold off.
Mm.
You know, so and this is a very slippery slope, as we know here in the United States. When you start privatizing these various companies, there's a ripple effect, and one part of it is that services which were supposed to be guaranteed to people are now guaranteed to those who have the money. It would be as if we privatized the postal service in the United States. The effect of that would be that those areas that are profit-producing, the bigger cities, would probably get great postal service. Those areas that are not profit-producing, smaller cities, rural areas, would probably get virtually nothing. The result of this is that you have a growing polarization in society. It's a polarization of wealth and often a polarization of regions. This is very dangerous in terms of long-term stability, as you can imagine.
Can we throw something else in, too? It would be like as if our postal service was privatized, but privatized by another nation.
That's right. That's right. Whoever could buy it.
Whatever nation.
Right.
And then what interest does another nation have in whether or not my grandmother's birthday card gets to me?
That's exactly right. And so you have growing in Africa privatization of things that should never be privatized, water, electricity, as we're having here in the United States.
Because
who
controls the country is the person that controls whether or not you're going to have electricity or not.
That's right.
We have to take a break, folks. I'm talking to the president of Trans-Africa Forum. Joining us from Washington, D.C., his name is Bill Fletcher. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
Here's what's coming up later this morning on The Wake Up Call. At 8, we'll talk to Larry Noble from the Center for Responsive Politics. He'll be giving us a primer course on what the Federal Election Commission does, or is supposed to do, and talk about why the resignation of one member, Brad Smith, could turn into a big deal. Then on Mondays at 9, producer-filmmaker Robert Greenwald returns to talk about his latest documentary that has some astounding facts behind the Walmart smiley face. All this, and it's only Monday, on The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
It'll be fun. It'll be cool. It'll be sports talk with Kevin Paulus, as close as your computer, at WGNU.net.
Do they play jazz in heaven? In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new Canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. Cause if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. Another large-scale attack by a suicide bomber in Iraq. About 60 people died in the town of Musayib, located about 40 miles south of Baghdad, on Saturday. Another 80 were reported wounded. The bomber detonated his device near a mosque and caused a fuel tanker near the scene to also explode, which caused a number of homes to be set ablaze. Local officials say the casualties were so massive that people had to be taken to hospitals in neighboring towns. This bombing caps a week that saw over 100 people killed in 16 suicide attacks in Baghdad alone. And Dateline Orlando. The family-friendly folks at Disney World have now added Big Brother to their park. Now, when you visit Disney World in Orlando, you must allow security to scan your middle and index fingers. Officials there say the scans allow them to find out who is using legitimate tickets. A spokesman for the American Civil Liberties Union says this move is a big step in the direction of collecting personal information on people and borders on an illegal violation of privacy. The scanning was done originally just for season pass holders, but has been phased in for all visitors over the past 6 months. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Families need look no further than the Wyndham Anatole Hotel for great summer vacation savings, offering fantastic hotel discounts and partnering with some of Dallas's best family attractions. Wyndham Anatole has the ultimate family getaway package, as low as $129.95 per night. Families are sure to enjoy the hotel's three pools, huge health club, 7-acre park, and a self-guided audio tour of the hotel's private art collection. Call 214-761-7500 or log on to WyndhamAnatole.com to make your reservations today.
Next, on Mondays at 9, we visit with renowned Hollywood filmmaker Robert Greenwald. He brought us the documentary on the Fox News Network, and his latest effort blows the doors off the world's biggest retail chain. Bad labor practices, retaliatory tactics, steamrolling the competition, putting its own employees on public aid rolls to avoid paying benefits, all part of how Walmart became number one in America. The High Cost of Low Pricing, the soon-to-be-released documentary directed by Robert Greenwald, our guest on the next edition of Mondays at 9. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Boom, clack, boom, clack. I want a rimshot.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. This morning I am talking to the president of Trans Africa Forum. He's joining us from Washington, D.C., Bill Fletcher. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Can you distinguish for us, as we talk about the G8 summit and the impact on Africa, can you distinguish between the different conditions placed upon the elimination of debt and the conditions of aid? Are there any differences? Between those conditions?
Yes, because in fact there's different sorts of aid that countries receive. And unfortunately, when the term is used, we think it's like just one thing. So for example, when President Bush was talking about an additional $600 million that he claimed he was going to give to Africa, this is when Tony Blair came to the United States. First of all, it turned out it wasn't really new money. It was money that Congress had already allocated. But the other thing is that it was humanitarian assistance. So humanitarian assistance, like for example, famine relief for refugees, et cetera, is different from infrastructure assistance. Infrastructure assistance is precisely what Africa needs. You know, the building of new railroads, highways, container ports, electricity, water purification, etc. So that's a second kind of assistance. Then, of course, you have military assistance. So the country of Liberia is slated to receive about $200 million in military and police assistance. So aid is not just one thing. Now, to receive the aid, there are different cases, conditions. In some cases, it is a matter of very much like what we were just talking about with the debt cancellation in terms of changing one's economy. In other cases, it might be simply, or no, I shouldn't say simply, it might be putting a U.S. military installation in that particular country. So it depends on the kind of aid that you're looking at.
And insofar as the African Union, how have they weighed in on the decisions that came out of the G8 summit?
Well, there was, it's interesting. In the African Union was meeting actually at the same time that the G8 was meeting. And so you had different reactions. You had Gaddafi of Libya, who said that Africa should not be begging the West, and you had Obasanjo from Nigeria, who was saying, you could interpret his remarks in different ways, but the best case, I'd say, is that he was saying that it's not begging, we need assistance. There were nice words after the summit was over, the G8 summit, about this is an advance. But I think the thing to keep in mind is that at various G8 summits, there have been pledges of greater assistance to Africa. And while this pledge of doubling aid by 2010 might be significant, there are so many other things that continue to hold the continent back, whether it's unfair trade agreements, whether it's the conditionalities that we were just describing, or the increasing militarization of the U.S. role in Africa.
When Tony Blair was out front on this, and he, the press has given him leadership on this, the things that Tony Blair was asking for Africa are the things that you described, right?
That's right. Yes, exactly. In fact, Blair, I'm not a defender of Tony Blair's. I think that he co-conspired with Bush to get us into this illegal war in Iraq. But for various reasons, Blair felt compelled to get out front on this issue. And he was emphasizing, I think, many of the right things. He just didn't go far enough. And he also fell prey to this issue around blaming the Africans for corruption and making that equivalent to the history that Africa has had at the hands of North America and Western Europe. And there's no comparison.
Well, Dr. Ron Walters was on my show a couple of weeks ago, and he said that there is no such thing as African debt, it's European debt.
Yes, and I generally agree with Professor Walters, and I think that that's a good way of framing it. They, Europe and North America owes the continent, and owes the continent big time, and this is one thing that the Bush administration refuses to acknowledge in any way. They do not acknowledge U.S. culpability in any of the problems that Africa faces, do not acknowledge U.S. culpability in the destruction of countries such as the Congo and Angola. And it's because of that role that the U.S. has played that we do have a debt, and we need to help to repair the damage that we created.
What has gone kind of unnoticed in this whole G8 discussion and what should be done with the continent of Africa are some of the demands that were being made by the African Union for a greater presence in the UN.
Well, that's absolutely right. And frankly, I think that the AU will continue to be ignored by Western Europe and the United States until and unless there's greater international solidarity with the African Union. And that one of the things that means is that we in the United States, particularly but not exclusively African Americans, need to speak up on behalf of the African Union. Mm. We need to be a constituency that says that the African Union must have a greater presence in the UN.
And where are some of the places that would help the continent if there was a presence of the African Union there?
Well, certainly in the United Nations. There's no question about that at all. But I would say that in every part of the international developing infrastructure, whether it's the World Bank or the IMF, it's important to have an AU presence. But we shouldn't deceive ourselves. An AU presence in the World Bank will not make the World Bank any more humane than it currently is, and it's not particularly humane. An AU presence, however, can be exactly the kind of fly in the ointment that we need in those various institutions. And so that's why I think it needs that an AU presence needs to be promoted.
And Bill Fletcher, can you direct us to your website, please?
Absolutely. We are at www.transafricaforum.org. We're here in Washington, D.C. at 202-223-1960.
Bill Fletcher, thank you so much. It's always
thank
a pleasure
you.
Having you.
My pleasure. Take care, then.
You too.
Bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back in the next hour with my intern. Oh, got a good discussion coming up. Stay with us.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that
person. WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. There's virtually no power or phone service across Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula after Hurricane Emily came ashore overnight. The storm made landfall 100 miles south of Cancun, with the northern eye wall passing directly over Cozumel. ABC's Jeffrey Kaufman is riding out the hurricane in Cancun.
As the hurricane slammed into this coastline famous for its white sand beaches, it brought giant waves, lashing rains, and powerful winds up to 135 miles an hour, making it a Category 4 storm. As Emily approached, authorities evacuated 30,000 tourists here in Cancun, one of the world's largest resort areas.
Hurricane Emily, now a Category 2 storm, is moving into the Gulf of Mexico and could reach northeastern Mexico or southern Texas by Wednesday. It would seem like a foregone conclusion, but an influential British think tank, Chatham House, concludes Prime Minister Tony Blair's close alliance with President Bush has pushed Britain into the spotlight of terror attacks.
The report says, in fact, that there is no doubt that there is a direct link and that the involvement of Britain in the war in Iraq has been a contributing factor.
That's Ryan Olof with Chatham House. British Foreign Secretary Jack Straw dismisses the report.
I'm astonished if Chatham House is now saying that we should not have stood shoulder to shoulder with our long-standing allies in the United States.
Hundreds of landscapers are donating their time today to help spruce up areas of Arlington National Cemetery. Dan Foley is with the Professional Land Care Network, which organized the effort.
We will definitely be enhancing the health of the landscape, but also improving some areas that maybe haven't had plantings in years.
And the immigrant population in the U.S. has exploded to the extent that the Center for Immigration Studies says there's a critical need for more interpreters in U.S. hospitals. This is ABC News.
Once again, another piece of winning advice from Jennifer Openshaw. This segment is brought to you by LendingTree. When banks compete, you win.
I'm a big believer in using what you've got, especially in building your financial security. And one thing most of us have right now is a home. Home prices have appreciated 50% in the last 5 years. The winning question is how to use that equity to build more wealth. First, think long-term. Mortgage rates are near 40-year lows, and that means borrowing from your home to finance a business or new property could cost you just 4% after the tax deduction. And second, use that money wisely. Think like an investor so you'll get an even better return on the money you do borrow from your home. Just make sure that whatever happens, you can always make your payments.
If you're thinking about taking advantage of the equity in your home, make sure you visit LendingTree.com, where you can get up to 4 real offers in just minutes. Whether you want a home equity loan or are looking to refinance your mortgage, when banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE. See website for sponsorship details and licensing.
Britain is mourning the death of a former prime minister. Here's ABC's Tom Rivers at the Foreign Desk in London.
Edward Heath, prime minister from 1970 to 74. His views were strongly shaped by his time in the service during World War II. His greatest political achievement? Successfully negotiating Britain's entry into what is now the European Union. Former politician and sometime political opponent Tony Benn knew him for many, many years.
He was a decent guy, said what he meant what he said, and didn't really attack people personally. You can't ask for more than that.
A private man, Heath will also be remembered for his love of music and sailing. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
The Indianapolis Zoo has suffered a tremendous loss, an exhibition of Australian birds wiped out by a pack of stray dogs. The dogs killed 2 black swans, 3 magpie geese, and 3 emus. Police arrived with shotguns and killed 4 of the dogs. One was captured, another dog still on the loose. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane, and this WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. A 43-year-old Pacific resident is dead following a motorcycle accident in Franklin County early yesterday morning. According to the State Highway Patrol, Kevin Kovis was traveling eastbound on Hogan Road when he was ejected from his Harley-Davidson motorcycle when it overturned. Kovis was pronounced dead at the scene. A suspect is in custody in connection with the Maryland Heights bank robbery. 37-year-old Stanley Hearns of Creve Coeur was arrested on Friday and is charged with first-degree robbery over the weekend. Hearns is accused of holding up the National City Bank at Westport Plaza last Thursday. He is being held on $75,000 bond. Determining whether a person is a perfectionist and what their self-worth and weight status are may help determine if they are likely to develop an eating disorder. Anna Bardrone Cohen, a researcher at the University of Missouri-Columbia, says her study shows that the more that someone is a perfectionist and the more that they feel bad about their weight and self-worth, the more likely they are to become bulimic.
You can think of it as these are women who they've got these high standards. Now, that's part of being perfectionistic. And they're not meeting one of them in terms of body weight and shape. They feel overweight. And they don't really feel they can do much about it. And these women, I think, are going to feel the worst about themselves.
More than 8 million Americans suffer from bulimia. Cohen says if you can determine who is most likely to develop the eating disorder, perhaps you can stop it from happening. And finally, property values in the city of Florissant are on the rise. Florissant Mayor Robert Lowry says the 2005 assessed value of the property in Florissant increased by 22%. Figures show that in 2004, the real estate value in Florissant was $383,000, while personal property was valued at $90,000. In 2005, these values grew to $470,000 and $93,000, respectively. There's never been a better time to get to your Chrysler dealer than right now during the summer sales drive, where you can get big cash allowances or low financing on some of Chrysler's best products. That's the news for the 7 o'clock hour. Now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by AutoZone. Eastbound 70 between 94 and in the Blanchette Bridge, look for road construction having only two left lanes open to through traffic. Traffic is backed up approaching 94 all the way to 5th Street. Eastbound 40 at Banaventer, that off-ramp is closed through August due to construction. Use Kings Highway Market or at Grand Exits there. Northbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and Arsenal, no problem to report. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270, everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 from Brentwood to Hanley, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 44, traffic is flowing freely this hour. Westbound 270 from New Florissant all the way into 170, look for slow traffic in the right lane. The northbound Route 3 ramp to 5570 is closed due to deck repairs. The alternate is to take eastbound 5570 to 4th Street, then double back onto westbound 5570. There are no delays in your 7 o'clock hour. The rest of your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 5570 split from 4th Street all the way into Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, nothing to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way onto Laclede's Landing. Look for no problems there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by AutoZone. Without regular oil changes, you'll send your car's engine to an early grave. Get to AutoZone today, change your oil, and get more life out of your car. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For the remainder of today, look forward to partly cloudy skies, a 40% chance of showers, possible thunderstorm with a high in the 90s. For this evening, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers and thunderstorms with a low around 70. Tuesday, partly sunny with a 20% chance of showers, the high around 90. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And then on Wednesday, hot and humid, partly cloudy, a high in the mid-90s. The highest heat index is expected to reach around 100 in the afternoon on Wednesday afternoon, so use caution and stay safe. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 76 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 77 in clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8, our guest will be Professor Robert Pape from the University of Chicago. His new book, The Logic of Suicide Terrorism, points out the erroneous perceptions most Americans have about the motivation behind terrorism. He says it has nothing to do with Islamic fundamentalism. Rather, it addresses the concept of foreign occupation. He also says that in 1996, Osama bin Laden said the United States had a plan to conquer Iraq, divide it into thirds, and give a portion to Israel, and do the same thing to Saudi Arabia. Are we playing right into his hands? Dying to Win with Professor Robert Pape, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop me. I think it is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop
resisting. Well, the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied existence.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is your phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Don't forget that we broadcast daily on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. So you can also check out my website at LizBrown.com. So those are my digits. That's how you get to me. Let's have our discussion this morning. This morning I am joined by my interns. The interns for this summer. What I was going to do is because everybody is a little... everybody's very excited, very excited about being on the air. Pull that mic down to you just right there. Come a little bit closer, a little bit closer. Everybody's excited about being on the air, and we're going to start with a roundtable introduction here. We're going to start this direction, and then we're going to come on around to this direction, okay? So introduce yourself to the audience.
Okay, good morning. I'm Emily Skates. I'm a junior at St. Louis University, communications major, and
that's it so far. Go right ahead.
My name is Ariana Miller, and I'm a junior also at Eastern University and a political science and philosophy major.
Hello, my name is Kumba Nia, and I'm a senior at UMSL, communication major.
And I wanna just kind of like have a conversation here about how is it that you all decided that you wanted to be an intern on the show, Kumba? Let me start with you.
Well, I listen to the radio show regularly, and I was at school one day. I was on the parking lot, and I heard the opportunity to do the internship. So I said, "Well, that sounds like something good, something that I could do. It's related to my field." So here I was. I sent you an email, and there you go.
Ariana.
Well, my mom gave me the heads up on the internship, but I thought that working in radio, and particularly for a show like this, would work really well with a political science major,
mm-hmm.
and would just help with getting experience.
Emily.
Well, my story is a little bit different than theirs in that I was knocked out of sleep early one morning, and I got a phone call at 7:30 from my mom telling me, "Liz Brown is offering an internship. Liz Brown. And I'm like, "What?" So she told me that I had to apply, not that I should. It was definitely had to. And so I applied online, and amazingly, you happened to be online, I guess, at the same time, because you replied like seconds later. And I was like, "Wow." So then I called her back, and I'm like, she replied. And so basically it was my mother pushing me, and so I guess I should start listening to her because I'm enjoying it. So.
Well, talk to us about what has been the response from your friends or from your family about this whole internship thing with the wake-up call?
Well, my response from my family and everything has been like they're saying like, you know, they're very supportive of you. They're talking about how intelligent you are and everything. I have an aunt, actually two aunts in Ohio, saying like, you know, how much like they love you and everything. And so it's been very supportive. A lot of people are shocked. Other people say, "Oh, well, she'll straighten out all your rough ends and all this stuff." So I didn't think I had any rough ends until then, but you know, so very supportive.
You told the story a few weeks ago about because you also work over at the Monsanto Y,
mm-hmm.
and you're a ref over at the.
Let's see, how did that go? Oh yeah, that's right. I'm the scorekeeper for the men's 40 and over league. And it was playoff time, and during playoffs, we had to stop the clock on every whistle. And so the commissioner of the league, Ricky Simmons, he was telling me, you know, "Emily, you need to stop the clock on every whistle." And I was like, I was messing with him. I was like, "Okay, so that means I have to stop the clock on timeouts too, right?" So he like raises his eyebrow and looks at me, and then he's like, "Oh, is that the education SLU's giving you?" And then they're like, and then someone from the background, like a referee, is like, "Oh, well, Liz Brown will straighten all that out." And I'm like, "Get out of here."
Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
How about you, Kuba? How has the world been responding to you being an intern?
Oh, favorably.
And pull that up to you a little bit more. There we go.
Very good. Most people that I tell and know about it, they really do think it's exciting, think it's a challenge for me, and they know that it's related to my field. So it's been more encouragement than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people ask me, "Well, how is that? What do you do?" And all this and that and the other. Just tell them I get in there and do the job that I have to do for the most part, and it's been real good.
How about you, Ariana?
Well, most of the time when people hear that I'm working for, you know, Liz Brown, or when, if they've heard the show and actually listened to WGNU, then they think that, oh, you know, this is really interesting, it's very positive. I did have a friend, her father, listens to it every day. He said, just because it makes him angry. And so she, you know, she had to tell him that I was working for Liz Brown because just to get a reaction out of him.
So everybody has been kind of been positive about it.
Yeah.
Well, when you are, so I want you to let the audience know what are some of the things that you've done since you've been on the show. Let me start with you, Ariana.
Well, a lot of it has been contacting guests, mm-hmm. Trying to get into contact with guests, you know, fielding or scheduling shows and finding good topics for shows. More recently, we've been doing the Riverbend blogs.
And let's do that. I want the audience to get a sense of one of the projects that we've done, the Riverbend blog, Riverbend, Girl from Iraq piece that we've done. Howard's going to get that together, and then we're going to let the audience hear one of the projects that we've been working on. Ariana, when you've been working on that, what is it that you've been doing?
Well, I've looked through the blog, mm-hmm. and which is basically a diary, and try to find deep and profound things that mm-hmm. she writes about, which is relatively easy because it's a very good site. And
well, tell the audience kind of what it is.
There's a girl in Iraq who's 24 years old, and she's a former computer programmer. She lost her job due to the war, and so she writes every day, and she's been writing since the beginning of the war about what it's like to go through this, what it's been like, how she views Americans and or the actions of American soldiers and the rest of the world. And so we've been taking excerpts from that and recording them.
Just kind of as a daily diary.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen to that.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Females can no longer leave their homes alone. Each time I go out, E and either a father, uncle, or cousin has to accompany me. It feels like we've gone back 50 years since the beginning of the occupation. A woman or girl out alone is at risk. An outing has to be arranged at least an hour beforehand. I state that I need to buy something or have to visit someone. Two males have to be procured, preferably large, and safety arrangements must be made in this total state of lawlessness. And always the question, but do you have to go out and buy it? Can't I get it for you? No, you can't, because the kilo of eggplant I absolutely have to select with my own hands is just an excuse to see the light of day and walk down the street. The situation is incredibly frustrating to females who work or go to college.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer
so
before the war.
When you hear
not
that,
anymore.
When you
in
hear
her
that,
diary of the occupation.
What does it feel like to hear your voice on the radio for the first time like that? What does that make? What do you think when you hear that?
You know, I think that the production aspects of it, pulling it all together, mm-hmm. makes it sound, you know, with the music in the background and what was done with the echo kind of behind it. I appreciate the way it was brought together.
Mm-hmm.
I think it sounds good.
Were you nervous when you had to do the recording? Because is that the first time that you've done something like that?
Not quite. Mm-hmm. I've been on a radio show before, mm-hmm. and kind of done similar things like that.
Because it kind of almost like you're almost like a natural with it in terms of, have you done interpretive? Have you done debate? Have you done anything like that?
Yeah, I was involved in like Model UN, so there was a lot of speaking and, you know, done some emceeing type things mm-hmm. before. So, yeah.
I think it sounded pretty good. Kumba, when you, some of the projects that you're working on with the Wake Up Call, we had kind of a disappointment with one of the big projects that you were working on. Tell us about that, because we thought we had something.
Right. In the industry, you get scooped, but I don't really think there was a scoop. It was just a matter of time. There's a gentleman in St. Louis named Charles Brown, Jr., whose descendants were the Cobb family. They lived in Pierce County, Missouri. And some of you may have seen an article in the Post-Dispatch, a couple of articles in the Post-Dispatch dealing with the whole incident of the Pierce County family. Now, what had really happened was that their family had got run out of the town, and they got burnt out of the town, and they got ran from one town to the next town. And the thing that Mr. Brown wanted, he wanted to go back and exhume his great-grandfather's grave and bury him with the rest of his family's remains that was located in a different city. And so he went on an expedition to do that. And so in the process of it, he got national attention, more or less. Film crews were involved, local media down in the area where his great-grandfather was buried, and locally as well. And so that was going to be my big story, but there was so much hype and news and coverage on it that it kind of got swallowed up. So it's like, well, it's still a good story, but you want to kind of be unique and kind of present information that's not so well known or not so talked about on the Liz Brown Wake Up Show.
So we've one of the things that we do every Friday is we come in, and every Friday for a few hours we sit down and we talk about we pitch stories, and we come up with different types of stories that we think are going to be possible stories on this show. Emily, talk to us about some of the stories that you have pitched, and what it's been like to try and find different stories to come up with that makes sense that we can do on the show.
Well, I can't deny it. The first week I waited till like the last minute, about Thursday night, early Friday morning, to try to find some pitches. And but throughout like the weeks that we've been involved in this internship, about 70% of mine haven't always been, you know, exactly newsworthy, because I didn't allow enough time to do them. But would you like me to name a couple of...
Yeah, talk to us about the one, what do you look at when you're trying to figure out what's going to be a good story to pitch?
Well, I try to find something first that I haven't heard about. Mm-hmm. And something that, like we talked about in one of the first meetings, something that has an idea with legs, meaning, mm-hmm. you know, you can run with it. Something that can last, like you said, like for a 45 minute show or something. I try to find, for the most part, I try to look on a global scale, mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of times, especially for like students and people my age, we are, for the most part, concerned with affairs within our own sphere, basically. And so I'm interested in what's going on, you know, elsewhere, not just outside of the St. Louis community, and but like outside of the United States as well. And so I'll try to check on BBC's website or some other international newspaper and try to find something, you know, so that we can be informed about, you know, what's going on all over the world, so that we can basically, you know, when it all comes down to it, help everyone else.
One of the things that you've talked about before, Emily, is the interest, or just whether or not people your age have an interest in news, have an interest in what's going on the daily newspaper or on the news show. Do you find that they do? How do they respond to trying to figure out what's going on in the world every day?
Well, really, I'd rather not, you know, just put a generalization on everyone my age. Mm-hmm. So I can really only speak for myself, you know, in that before this internship, I thought the news was basically boring, mm-hmm. and disgusting. I went to listen to watch the Cartoon Network all day long. That's 24 hours of SpongeBob.
Is that communication major?
Yeah, communication. Cartoons talk? No. But, and so before now, I haven't been informed at all. And so the friends that I've talked to, you know, I'll say, have you heard the show, the morning wake up call? Did you hear this on the news, hear that? And you're like, the news? Are you crazy? And so judging by those few responses, you know, very seldom have I gotten someone that says, you know, yes, I've heard that. Mm-hmm. And And so, judging by that, I feel that we need to get on the ball and start paying attention.
Well, how do you feel now that you've had an opportunity to be kind of immersed, because you spend about 15 hours a week or more on the doing this or more, doing the internship. How do you feel now about the news?
Well, now it really, like, I work out listening to the news. Like, I'll have it on the television while I'm working out. And, like, that's something that I would never do. Normally, it would be music videos or something like that. And so now it really, truly feels refreshing and good to hear something on the news that you already know about. Like, that's one of the best underrated feelings. Like, seriously, it may sound like nothing at all, but to hear something, hear, like, some headline news story, and for me to say, oh, well, I already know about this. And so it just feels good.
Do y'all get that
really
feeling,
good.
Too? Have you experienced that?
Controversially speaking, yes, especially with the program that you did last week on the vaccinations. In certain reports this weekend, I've seen doctors and different people saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with vaccinations. They're good for you. Go and get them. And it was just interesting to see how we had documented differently and everything, and a lot of the studies are inconclusive right now. Just about, you know, like in everything that you do when you do research, a lot of stuff is inconclusive. But it's just interesting how they're still saying you go get these mercury field vaccinations. And they also made the point that they aren't, they said in the news, certain outlets said that there's no correlation between autism, but we do know that there is a correlation between these mercury field vaccinations with different neurological disorders. So,
and who brought that story to us? Who got that story set up?
I set it up.
Ariana, you set that up. Yeah. How does that make you feel when you hear out in the news and you hear something that you've already put together?
That was a good feeling. Not only do you know what's going on, but you've had a chance to talk to the people who, you know, are going to be on the air, who know a whole lot about what's going on, and be here to hear the guests and hear the show. And it feels like it actually is accomplishing something, because people really do need to know about things like that.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call, with the Wake Up Call interns here. We're going to continue our conversation. We're going to bring another one of our interns in by phone. So stay with us, folks. You don't want to miss this. This is Liz Brown and Ariana, Emily, and Kumba, all with the Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
But now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sours traffic and weather. Sours traffic is sponsored by Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Eastbound 70 at Warrenton. There's an accident reported involving a tractor trailer on the shoulder. Expect a brief slowdown into this hour. Eastbound 40 at Vanaventer. That off-ramp is closed through August due to construction work. Use Kings Highway, Market, or Grand to get around the construction area. Northbound 55 between Bayless and 44, no problems report. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge, look for normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, look for very heavy volume this hour. Northbound 270 at 44, look for slow volume there as well. Westbound 270 between New Florissant and 170, slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to 55, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 slows after 141 all the way into Mason Road. The northbound Route 3 ramp to westbound 5570 is closed due to bridge deck repairs. The detour is to take eastbound 5570 to 4th Street, then double back onto westbound 5570. There are no delays in your 7:30 commute. Other than that, the rest of the bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 split from 3rd Street all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic in pockets this hour. Westbound 64 at 5570, look for no problems to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at State Line, look for slow volume there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. There's never been a better time to get to your Chrysler dealer than right now during the Summer Sales Drive, where you can get big cash allowances or low financing on some of Chrysler's best products. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy skies, 40% chance of showers and a possible thunderstorm, the high around 90. For this evening, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers and thunderstorms, 40% to be exact. The low should be around 70 this evening. For Tuesday, partly sunny, a 20% chance of showers with a high around 90. Tuesday evening, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers is possible with a low around 70. And on Wednesday, hot and humid, high in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 100 degrees by Wednesday afternoon. So use caution and just keep it tuned right here. We'll let you know what's going on. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under cloudy conditions, we have 77 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 77 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Liz's interns and Liz have more conversation up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes. And after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Here's what's coming up later this morning on the Wake Up Call. At 8, we'll talk to Larry Noble from the Center for Responsive Politics. He'll be giving us a primer course on what the Federal Election Commission does, or is supposed to do, and talk about why the resignation of one member, Brad Smith, could turn into a big deal. Then on Mondays at 9, producer-filmmaker Robert Greenwald returns to talk about his latest documentary that has some astounding facts behind the Walmart smiley face. All this, and it's only Monday, on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
My days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot. Don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back.
Welcome back. Well, Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And I am here this morning with the Wake Up Call interns. We have another intern that is joining us via the phone lines, Michael Wallace. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm fine. And Michael, why don't you tell folks a little bit about yourself and how you came to be an intern on the Wake Up Call?
Well, my name's Michael Wallace. I just graduated high school from St. Louis Career Academy. I came to be on the Wake Up Call because I heard about it, and I felt like it would be an excellent opportunity for me to learn some new things and meet some new people. So, like, a day before I graduated, which was on June 1st, I emailed my resume to Liz. I got a call back the next day, and I started that weekend, and it was just wonderful.
Tell us a story about, you don't have to name your teacher, but tell the story about what your teacher said about when she found out that you were going to be a wake-up call intern.
Oh, yes. My teacher was ecstatic. She was very surprised, too. She warned me, basically. She told me that Liz was a very powerful person and a very strong-minded person, and that I should represent my school very well.
So you're supposed to represent Career Academy.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, and we've been talking, Michael, since we've been on the show this morning about what you're learning and what you're experiencing as being an intern on the show. Can you share with us some of the things that you're experiencing as being an intern?
I've experienced a lot of things. One of the biggest things I experience is the ability to research faster and better. Because finding guests for the show and finding information for the guests is harder than I actually thought it was. So actually having to do it made me see how many levels there is actually into producing the radio show. I thought it was just you get on the air and you talk.
Mm-hmm. It's not that. It's not that, is it?
No.
One of the shows that you're working on that I personally, because I'm not, this is not my area of expertise, but you're working on, you seem to have a bit of an interest in the whole technological component of this.
Yes.
One of the shows that you're working on is this whole spy thing. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, with the spy thing, it's like a lot of people don't know that no matter where you are, people know. Even when you're sitting at home, people know. So the biggest aspect of it is, when do you ever have true privacy?
And that's the show that you're working on. It was quite a day when you showed us. It was such an amazing day when you found this website. Tell us about this website that you found.
Oh, I found this website that gives you satellite images of any address that you put in. Any address that you want a satellite image of, it'll give it to you straight. It'll give it right to you.
Real time. And, Ariana, you did it. You did it because we all gave our addresses and we were trying to see if the thing was really what it appeared to be. You did it, Ariana.
Yeah, I did. I put in my dad's address in there and I saw his car in the driveway. I was like, no, that's his house. There's his car. He's at home.
There you go. There you go. It was just, you were like, he's home. I can see his car.
Yeah, and he was not pleased with that. You know, people being able to know all that.
To know your business. I mean, you're sitting miles away, and Emily, you were there that day,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so then Liz runs home to her house, and she was like, okay, I'll be there in 2 minutes. Now, let me know when you see my car. And so we actually do see her vehicle. We didn't actually get to see it pull up because we had the free trial right then. Mm-hmm. And so we saw it parked there, and she said, "Okay, well, I'm waving. I'm waving to the sky."
I got out of
and
my
so,
car.
Yeah. And so then I can hear her neighbors in the background talking about, "What are you doing? You're looking crazy. What's wrong with you?" And so she runs across the street and say, "Can you see me?" So we see this little black dot across the street. And they said, "Okay, well, I'm going to run back." So I'm just picturing her running across the street back and forth.
Because
and
the
that was her, the little black dot.
The little, that was the little black dot.
We see it. I see it. There's the dot.
And there were the Klee Gas guys that were working on the house across the street. They were like, "Who you waving at?" Because I'm waving at the sky. I stand in the middle of the street waving at the sky. Like, "Who are you waving at?" It's just
big
an amazing
big brother.
Big brother is who we were waving at. It's just an amazing thing. And Michael, you found this, and it's a trial type of a thing.
Yes, I was just surfing the internet and I found it.
And anybody can get it.
Right.
So it's like, and you're going to be doing the, we're going to be doing the show on this, but it's kind of like if you have stalking tendencies, or if you're a stalker wannabe, or if you just want to know people's business, you can do it.
And that's not the only thing with the spy thing. That's the satellite imaging I found. I also found a website where you can be a business or a library or anything. I actually found it at the library, where you just put in a phone number, and it gives you address, a map to the house.
Oh, Lord.
How much they paid on the house, how much the bank owned, how much house cost.
Get out of here.
A bunch of different information.
How scary is that? I can't wait till we do that show. I can't. Because right. Nobody's going to leave their house, or they're going to move and not tell anybody after we do this show. We're going to take a break, folks. We'll get to some of your calls here at 454-0400. I am here with my wake-up call interns, Michael, Ariana, Emily, and Kumba. We will be back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Find out on T3, Talk Totally for Teens. Log on at WGNU.net.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Phoenix. A report out of Arizona today that another person has died as a result of being tased by Phoenix police. The suspect caused a disturbance at a local fast food restaurant and fought with police, who then shocked him 3 times with their stun gun. The official reports say the man was so out of control, the taser had no effect on him, and he battled with the cops for about 10 minutes before he was overcome and placed in restraints and a mask to prevent him from spitting on them. After being subdued, it was observed that he stopped breathing. Paramedics were called, but the man could not be revived. The results of an autopsy will not be known for a few months. There are at least 7,000 police agencies in this country that allow the use of tasers, but a growing number of deaths have left local officials skittish on using them. Earlier last week, the mayor of Birmingham, Alabama, ordered his department to stop using these stun guns because of concern over their safety. About 130 people have reportedly died after having the weapon used on them over the last 7 years. There was another report out of Texas just last week as well that a 17-year-old male died after he was tased 3 times by police when they responded to a call that the young man was high on drugs. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Think before you drink. Don't drive. The life you save may be your own. This message from South 94 Bait and Tackle, 6301 Weldon Springs Road in Weldon Springs, Missouri. Call the professional anglers at 636-939-5249. That's 636-939-5249. South 94 Bait and Tackle, on the air because they care. Reminding drivers, if you need a belt for the road, make it a seat belt.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't realize George W. Bush would become the
president. That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Here's what's coming up later this morning on The Wake Up Call. At 8, we'll talk to Larry Noble from the Center for Responsive Politics. He'll be giving us a primer course on what the Federal Election Commission does, or is supposed to do, and talk about why the resignation of one member, Brad Smith, could turn into a big deal. Then on Mondays at 9, producer-filmmaker Robert Greenwald returns to talk about his latest documentary that has some astounding facts behind the Walmart smiley face. All this, and it's only Monday, on The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. We are talking to the Wake Up Call interns this morning, Kumba, Emily, Michael, and Ariana. And we're all back here to take some of your calls, to talk about what it's been like to be an intern on the Wake Up Call. Dolores, you have a question or comment for my interns?
I have a comment.
Yes,
hi, students. I'm a student of the Wake Up Call with Dr. Brown. I want to congratulate all of you for exercising the wisdom to pursue your internship on the Wake Up Call. This will be one of your great life experiences. I want you to hold on tight and enjoy the ride. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dimitri, you have a question or comment for my interns?
Yeah, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I have a question for your intern named Kumba. I was wondering if he's the same person who was a reporter
for
the college newspaper at Forest Park.
That's right.
Oh, Kumba, hello. This is Dimitri.
Yeah, Dimitri, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. I just want to congratulate you, and I couldn't think of a more appropriate voice to be coming in along with Liz Brown's voice. I want to tell you that, and the listening audience, you wrote an article for the Forest Park College newspaper entitled, Will the Real Terrorists Stand Up? Yeah. And you made your mark then, and it stirred up quite a few people. And I still have a copy of that article, and I'm very proud to say that I was happy to work with you and happy to hear about you being an intern on Liz Brown's show. My congratulations to all the interns there, but especially to you, Kumba, because I recognize in you a force in the community and continued success.
What a sweet thing to say. Thank you, Dimitri.
You're welcome.
All right.
And he's a gifted artist.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. True fact. Dimitri is a wonderful, wonderful artist. Alan, you have a question or comment for our interns here? Alan?
Oh, yes. I was just calling in to tell Emily hello. This is Mr. Larkin.
Hi, Mr. Larkin.
How fine are you?
Uncle Alan.
Almost ran into a car when I heard your voice this morning. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
454-0400 is our phone number. And one of the things that we've done so far as a part of the internship is read the book, The Miseducation of the Negro. That was one of the assignments that we did. And how was that as an experience? Because I don't know that a lot of internships, like, make you read books during the course of it. Michael, how was it for you?
To me, it was new. Normally people just don't assign me books to read. I normally just read books that catch my interest, and I didn't find myself reading one of this book anytime soon, but I'm actually glad I read it. It was a new experience.
How about you, Ariana?
I thought that Woodson it made me think of a lot of the questions, particularly about what it means for there to be a black community, what it meant in the 1930s and what it means now in 2005, and what holds the African-American community together as one, mm-hmm. and how they can continue to grow and thrive as a people.
Mm-hmm. And Kumba, you had read the book before. This is you were reading it again. What was mm-hmm. it like reading it again under these circumstances as part of an internship?
Mostly everything was reinforced that I understood from the past, actually. But one thing that was more, I guess, pronounced to me was the going through the process of how we had been miseducated in school and out of school and how it just has carried on throughout our lives. It's just a continuous miseducation, one thing after the next thing, after the next thing, after the next thing. Like we were talking about the vaccination, just to go back to that a little bit, that's just an aspect of being miseducated about the healthcare system and what's going on out there. But the one important thing that I thought that I got out of what Woodson was saying is that we need to really support ourselves and not look at ourselves in, like, if we have a low-wage job and look at that as just the end in itself. Look at that job and say, okay, I'm doing this now. I'm a janitor now. But Woodson was a proponent of becoming a janitorial service. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I got out of that whole book, you know, looking at where you are, your little small lot in life, and trying to make something grow out of that, make it big and grand.
And how about you, Emily?
Well, one word that I can use to describe life in general is purpose, and that there's a purpose for everything. And I know that I wasn't introduced to the miseducation of the Negro before now, and I'm 20 years old now. However, I feel that there was a point to me receiving that instruction, that information now, because I don't feel if I had read it when I was like 13, it would not have meant as much to me. And since I have not graduated from college yet, and what he says in regard to college students, like for instance with internships, how we should not expect a pay. We should think of it as an honor to have instruction. And that meant so much to me, being with this internship and at this point in my life, to have that, you know, to have that knowledge going into tomorrow, you know. And I don't think it was a better time for me to read that book. And I will read it again, as you said, 10 years from now, 5 years from now.
And I want to hear from y'all 10 years from now after you read it again to see how what you think about it at that point in your life. Let me take another call here. Thierra, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
My name is Thierra.
Thierra.
Yes, I want to call and congratulate Michael because he's been telling me about his intern site. I'm one of his friends and former students from his high school.
Oh, so you know Michael.
Yeah, he called me Friday, but I was sleeping. My mother told me, because he's going to remind me.
She's going to remind you, too.
He's going to remind me to listen in. But my father, me and him listen every day when we go to school. And this morning, my father was going to work. So my father ran in. He's like, your friend is on the radio. So I had just turned him on like about 5 minutes ago.
Well, Michael, say hi to your friend.
Hey, Sierra.
And I'd be like, oh, my goodness.
You're doing celebrity now.
There you go. There you go. Well, Fiera, thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Michael, one of the things that we've been working with on the internship is the research part of it, but also we've been working on the contacting the guest part of it. We've also been working on the how do you put a show together and the production part of it. What's your favorite part of being on the internship?
My favorite part is the research part. Some people like to call me a computer geek, so I love to sit down at the computer and research things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my favorite part of it.
And we only have 2 minutes left here, so I'm going to have to go around to all of you and ask you, is this something that you would recommend to other people? And if so, why? Yeah, Ariana, let me start with you.
Yes, this is definitely something I recommend that people or other students try and take advantage of, just because we get to kind of have a hand in all aspects of what goes on in producing a radio show, and I think that that's a just really neat opportunity.
Is it what you thought it was going to be?
I don't know if I had any set expectations about it. Mm-hmm. I was just like coming in open to see.
And Kumba.
Yeah, as a communication major, I would advise all communication majors who are listening to get into an internship because my advisor would strongly advise me from UMSL to do this, and she'll be glad to know that I did this summer, and it gives you that inside track, and it is a little bit different than what I thought it would be in terms of what I was taught in school, what you would do in certain situations with internships. So,
and Emily, I'm going to have to go to you. Sorry.
First things first, don't go into anything, any internship with expectations because your mind may get off track, but just go into it with a positive mindset, and then you'll be okay.
And how about you, Michael?
I say that everyone should try an internship, no matter what their field is. You might not want to be on a radio station or produce a radio station, but you might want to be in international business. I suggest you get a business internship. Internships are a marvelous thing to experience.
And I want to thank all of you. You all are doing a wonderful job. I've really enjoyed being working with you, and I can't wait till you all bring your big stories in August.
Oh, yes.
Bring your big story. Everyone's going to be presenting their big story in August, so look forward to that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, Emily, Kumba, Ariana, and Michael. Thank you so much, and I'll see you all later today.
Okay.
Take care. I'll be back after this. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Strengthen again as it moves into the Gulf of Mexico. ABC's Jeffrey Coffin has the latest from Cancun.
We're still getting some rain bands coming through here, but when daylight rose, the worst of the storm had passed. The seas are still roiling and enormous, really violent out there. But the storm is now well past the Yucatan coastline.
A hurricane watch is posted from Cabo Rojo, Mexico, to Baffin Bay in Texas. As many as 35,000 customers lost power last night in the Phoenix area after a ferocious dust storm.
I see wind going one direction in front of the house and the other direction in the back of the house. That's spiral spinning, and that to me is a tornado.
And the sound of the effect was like a whirling, just like it was just going to lift.
Yeah, the whistling was gone. It was more like a roar.
About 1,500 homes and businesses are still in the dark this morning. There's a sentencing hearing this morning in Birmingham, Alabama, for Eric Rudolph, who confessed to bombing the 1996 Atlantic Olympics and a women's clinic in Birmingham where a police officer was killed. Some of the victims will be in court this morning to confront Rudolph. Former President Bill Clinton is in Mozambique, the first leg of a six-nation tour of the AIDS crisis in Africa. In an exclusive interview with ABC's Robin Roberts, Mr. Clinton talked about his own health.
I just got a clean bill of health from my doctor after my surgeries. I feel great, and this is what I do. I mean, I believe that, you know, this is what I should do with my life.
Mr. Clinton's foundation will spend $10 million this year to help poor children with AIDS and HIV. This is ABC News.
Once again, another piece of winning advice from Jennifer Openshaw. This segment is brought to you by LendingTree. When banks compete, you win.
I'm a big believer in using what you've got, especially in building your financial security. And one thing most of us have right now is a home. Home prices have appreciated 50% in the last 5 years. The winning question is how to use that equity to build more wealth. First, think long-term. Mortgage rates are near 40-year lows, and that means borrowing from your home to finance a business or new property could cost you just 4% after the tax deduction. And second, use that money wisely. Think like an investor so you'll get an even better return on the money you do borrow from your home. Just make sure that whatever happens, you can always make your payments.
If you're thinking about taking advantage of the equity in your home, make sure you visit LendingTree.com, where you can get up to 4 real offers in just minutes. Whether you want a home equity loan or are looking to refinance your mortgage, when banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE. See website for sponsorship details and licensing.
There's new information from Aruba in the disappearance of Natalie Holloway. Here's ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
As evidence, it's not much. A few blonde hairs stuck to some duct tape. But it gives Natalie Holloway's mother a sliver of hope.
That just shows me that the investigation is still ongoing, so that's a good sign to me.
The hair and duct tape found on the southeast side of Aruba has been sent to Holland for analysis. The 18-year-old Alabama teenager has been missing for nearly 2 months, and a Texas volunteer team that went to Aruba to search for the girl headed home. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The Italian airline Alitalia had to cancel 59 domestic and international flights today because of a day-long strike by flight attendants. Their union is negotiating details of contracts that were signed months ago. And on Wall Street, the Dow opens this morning at 10,640. The Nasdaq begins the day at 2156. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane, and this WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. A Winfield man is dead following a weekend car crash in Lincoln County. 29-year-old Leroy Vaughn was traveling northbound on Route EE, 3.5 miles north of Highway 47, when his Dodge Spirit skidded off the roadway, struck a driveway, became airborne, and hit a tree. The Missouri Highway Patrol says Vaughn was pronounced dead at the scene. The results of a new study indicate why a 2003 outbreak of monkeypox in the U.S. resulted in no deaths. Mark Buller, a professor of microbiology at St. Louis University, says that's because of where the outbreak originated.
The 2003 monkeypox outbreak in the Midwest was caused by importation of the disease in one batch of these rodents from West Africa.
Buller says 10% of monkeypox outbreaks from the Congo Basin region are fatal, while outbreaks that originate in West Africa are not as virulent. Researchers from the St. Louis University Health Sciences Center and the Washington University School of Medicine collaborated on the study. The results of the study appear in the current issue of Virology. While the Kirkwood community comes together for the family of fallen Kirkwood Police Sergeant William McEntee, members of Kirkwood's Meacham Park community are holding weekly fundraisers. Friends will raise money every weekend to cover funeral expenses for Joseph Long, the 12-year-old brother of McEntee's alleged killer, Kevin Johnson. Those involved in the fundraisers say none of the money raised will fund the defense of Kevin Johnson. And finally, downtown St. Louis continues to grow. In what officials call their largest ribbon cutting ever, 8 businesses, including restaurants, galleries, and a business support center, opened their doors on Friday in the 1300 block of Washington Avenue. According to the Downtown St. Louis Partnership, there has been more than $2 billion in new investment downtown since 1999. There's never been a better time to get to your Chrysler dealer than right now during the summer sales drive, where you can get big cash allowances or low financing on some of Chrysler's best products. That's the news for the 8 o'clock hour. Now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Heritage Wood Line. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchett Bridge. Major road construction has 2 left lanes open to 3 traffic. Traffic is backed up approaching 94 all the way to 5th Street. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer, that off-ramp is closed through August. At construction, you can use Kings Highway Market or Grand to get around that construction area. Northbound 55 between Germania and Lafayette, no problems there. Eastbound 44 from Meraz Overpass all the way to Sappington is on the move. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, look for a very heavy volume this hour. Northbound 270 from Gravelway to 44, it is slow in pockets. Westbound 270 from New Florissant all the way to 170, slow in the right lane this hour. And eastbound 40 between Woods Mill and Mason Road, look for that traffic to be easing up this hour. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, look for stop-and-go traffic. And the rest of your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 split from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect stop-and-go traffic in your 8 a.m. commute. Westbound 64 to 5570 split looks good. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit all the way onto Laclede's Landing. Everything is slow this hour. McCausland and Clayton Skinker, there's a report of traffic lights on Red Flash, and that traffic is backed up. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800-2-DONATE, or you can visit taxdeduction.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy skies, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, a high around 90. This evening, partly cloudy with another chance for showers and thunderstorms. It'll be 40%. The low this evening should be around 70 degrees. For Tuesday, partly sunny with a chance for showers, a high around 90. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy once again with a low around 70. Then on Wednesday, hot and humid, partly cloudy, a high in the mid to upper 90s. The highest heat index is going to be around 100 by late Wednesday afternoon. So use caution around Wednesday and just keep it tuned right here to AM 920 WGNU. We will let you know as the heat index numbers become available. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under overcast skies, we have 80 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 79 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Larry Noble, the executive director at the Center for Responsive Politics, will be her guest in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and if you want to toll-free long-distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, every day we are archived daily at the WhiteRoseSociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you missed an hour, go get an hour. Also, the website will be launched on August 1st. In the meantime, you can stroll on over to LizBrown.com. That's LizBrown.com. Check out my column at LizBrown.com and check that out. And knowing that on August the 1st, we are launching the official website with the blog, with the column Through Brown Eyes, with guest columnists, with other exciting features. You're wondering about the blanket drive for this year? Oh, it's going to be information about that. It's going to be on there, too. It's all there. It's going to be there on August 1st. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can always contact me at revolution@LizBrown.com, and we broadcast live on the World Wide Web every single day of every single hour at www.wgnu.net. Now, there are all kinds of things going on. We did a story earlier this morning about how this administration, it appears that this administration put money into, put CIA operatives on, retired CIA operatives whose names we cannot get, on the election, the so-called election in Iraq, to push the candidates and the agenda that this administration preferred. And that's a problem. That is a problem. But we have issues right here at home with elections. We have an issue right here at home with the Federal Election Commission and the resignation of Commissioner Bradley Smith. And to talk about that, we have Larry Noble, the Executive Director at the Center for Responsive Politics, joining us from Washington, D.C. this morning. Larry Noble, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Commissioner Bradley Smith resigning. Why should we be concerned about this?
Well, I think people need to be concerned about the Federal Election Commission overall. The Federal Election Commission is the federal agency charged with enforcing our campaign finance laws. These are the laws that limit how much people can contribute to campaigns, stop corporations from putting money into federal campaigns. And it's a six-member commission made up of three Republicans and three Democrats. And Brad Smith is one of the Republican commissioners, and he has generally been opposed to the campaign finance laws, and has been very vocal about that, and it's unusual to have somebody who's opposed to the laws put in charge of enforcing them. He is leaving to go back to teach law school, and this gives the president an opportunity to appoint a new commissioner.
But isn't this good news? Isn't it good news that the guy that's in charge of the FCC, and that's opposed to the regulations, isn't that good news that he's stepping down?
It's good news that he's stepping down, but the problem is there are also three other slots open on the commission, and President Bush now gets to appoint new commissioners, and the fear is he's just going to appoint commissioners who are like Brad Smith and don't believe in the law. But personally, I should say this up front, personally, I know Brad Smith, I like him personally, I just disagree with his policies on the law. But what we have is a very ineffective agency, and it's one that's been ineffective for a while, and it's been generally off people radar screens. You don't hear a lot about the Federal Election Commission, but it affects who gets elected to office. It affects all the money in the campaigns, so it's an important issue.
And how many seats are open and how many people sit on the commission?
It's six commissioners. They have to do everything by four votes. It's three Republicans and three Democrats. And the way it works, there are two commissioners up together, one Republican and one Democrat. And they're what's called staggered terms. They're six-year terms. Every 2 years, two more are up. But because the president hasn't done anything to reappoint commissioners whose terms are up, there are actually four vacancies on the commission right now.
So that's it.
That's it. I mean, they sit there until they are until somebody's appointed to take their position. But Brad Smith is leaving, which makes this an important issue for the president right now. And he has an opportunity to shape the commission in terms of appointing good people, though we doubt he'll do that.
And the decisions that he makes are six-year decisions.
They are six-year decisions, and he really gets to shape the commission now for quite a while. So it's an important issue, and it's unfortunate because most people don't know about it. But when you hear about big corporations influencing our elections, when you hear about them getting tax breaks or getting government contracts, it's always important to know where the campaign finance money is coming from.
So who's leaving the commission that's good for that issue?
Well, there's one commissioner, and this gets a little bit complicated. I'll try to simplify it, but commissioners now are under what's called term limits. They can only be appointed once, but because of when that law came into effect, there's actually two commissioners who can be reappointed one more time. One of them, Commissioner Scott Thomas, has actually been an excellent commissioner. He's been there for quite a long time. He believes in the law. He's often one of the only dissenting voices when the commission does something that undermines the law. And he's up for reappointment, but it looks like, and he's a Democrat, and it looks like the Democrats don't want him reappointed because, frankly, they don't want the law enforced any more than the Republicans do.
So we've got nothing coming from either side.
That's right. I mean, think about it this way. It is, what you have here is the agency that regulates Congress and the president in campaign financial issues, and they get to appoint the commissioners. So it's like any team who gets to appoint the umpire. They're going to try to appoint people who are favorable to them.
So give us some scenarios. Give us some scenarios of what can happen if George W. Bush does what's anticipated and appoints four people that are like-minded or similar to a Bradley Smith.
I can give you some very specific examples. In 2002, Congress passed a new campaign finance law, and it was to ban the unlimited contributions that the political parties were receiving. Basically, our federal elections have been regulated for over 100 years, and corporations and labor unions and wealthy individuals aren't supposed to be giving directly to federal elections. But over the years, in large part because of the FEC, there were a lot of loopholes written into the law. In 2002, the McCain-Feingold bill passed, and your listeners may have heard about the McCain-Feingold bill. This was the one that was supposed to cut off the big donations to the political parties and the candidates, the federal candidates. The FEC immediately went about undermining that law. It started issuing regulations that allowed the soft money back into the campaign. To give you one specific example.
Well, excuse me, Larry, maybe I missed this when you said it. The FEC, the Federal Election Commission, began undermining that bill?
Absolutely. What they started doing was they started issuing regulations. Every agency, when a law is passed, has to issue regulations for its law. And that's actually how the law will be interpreted. And the FEC immediately started issuing regulations that right now two courts have said undermine the law. I'll give you a specific example of one. The law prohibits a federal candidate from soliciting a what's called soft money contribution. Soft money is the money that's unregulated in federal elections. And the law says they cannot solicit it. The FEC defined solicit as directly asking for the contribution. So saying things such as, it would be great if you could financially help, isn't considered asking. Well, last week, the U.S. Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia upheld the lower court striking down of that regulation and said the FEC just undermined the law by doing that.
That's kind of like saying it's the wife of James Wilson.
Right, exactly.
Right, exactly. Instead of her name.
Yeah, exactly right. And as the court said, you know, it's working with a wink and a nod. And you know, people are not stupid. People know how to get around these laws. And so the FEC has had a record of doing this type of thing. They've been taken to court twice over it, and they've lost. And they're trying to redo the regulations. But what you effectively have is an agency that just doesn't believe in the law. So if you want to see how some of these large corporations give money or why they give this money, you can blame the FEC. And I can put in a plug for our website. We have a website, www.opensecrets.org. And what we put on that website are the campaign contributions given to every member of Congress and to the Senate and to the President. We do all candidates of federal office. We do industries. We show you where the industries are giving their money, who they're giving their money to, why they're giving their money to certain groups. And people really need to understand where the control is of Congress, and you need to look at the money to find that control.
And if that, your website is a great website. I've used it quite a bit on the show, particularly on the bankruptcy bill, to see where these people and who voted for it, we're getting their money from. And it's not rocket science. You understand why they vote when they vote when you see where they get their money from.
That's absolutely right. And what you see is the big losers in the bankruptcy bill were the average citizen, people mm-hmm. who might, because of some real misfortune, have to declare bankruptcy. The ones who won were the credit card companies and the banks. And if you look at who gave the money, the credit card companies and the banks gave a lot of money to get the bankruptcy bill passed, and they were successful. And the public is hurt by those type of things.
And if you want to look at a real, just a clear or a piece of evidence that how whose interest is being protected, if an airline can come in and declare bankruptcy and no longer have to pay for their pension fund.
That's
you
right.
know, who's being protected there? And a poor schmuck who has hospital bills has to pay part of those back now.
That's right. And it could just be because the airline industry can make a lot of political contributions mm-hmm. and that other person just doesn't.
There
and who is the member of Congress going to listen to in those cases? They have an open door for people who make a lot of contributions to them.
So back to the FEC, the courts have ruled that some of the FCC's regulations are undermining the law. They rule that. How do we enforce that?
Well, what happens is the FEC then undertakes a new rulemaking to rewrite the regulations. I've testified at a number of their rulemakings, and you just hope they get it right eventually. They take it seriously, and if they don't, then they get sued again.
How long is this process taking? Because I'm an attorney. I know it takes more than a day for that to happen.
You're right, and the law was passed in 2002. It is now 2005, and we've gone through one election under the new law, which is 2004. We have another one coming up in 2006, and the process is still going on.
How long was that rule that they put in that you know, the ask is not ask? How long were they able to operate under that rule before a federal court has ruled that undermining?
Well, they basically went through one full election. They went through the 2004 election. The district court ruled a while ago that the regulation was illegal under the law, and the FEC appealed it to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals just ruled last week, I believe on Friday they just ruled, they upheld the lower court. So the FEC basically allowed the campaigns to work under these limited, these rules that opened loopholes for one election cycle already, the 2004, and had a real impact on the 2004 election.
They had a little thing called a presidential election
Exactly. And now we have another election coming up in 2006, and the question is, and frankly, the campaigning has already started, and the real election season starts in January, and the question is, will the FEC have new rules in place by then? You know, the slowness works to their benefit.
Yes, it does.
And the slowness, frankly, works to the benefit of many of the candidates and actors who want to get all this money into the political process.
Well, how has any of this changed? Do you get the FEC to change this? Because clearly, if they're pointing like you said, you're appointing your own umpires for your team.
How do you change it? It's a good question, and it's a very difficult question to answer. But I will say this. Senator Mitch McConnell, who has been an opponent of campaign finance reform forever, and in fact, the big case that went to the Supreme Court over the new campaign finance law bill was called McConnell versus FEC. He was very proud of his opposition. The Supreme Court upheld the campaign finance bill. Senator McConnell said at one time that nobody has ever lost an election for opposing campaign finance reform.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's the key to it in that the public has to show that it cares about these issues. And it's hard because it's somewhat abstract. But the public has to really understand, and you can see this on our website, that this money makes a difference to your pocketbook, because if you want to know why cable TV rates are or cable companies are regulated in a certain way, take a look at the campaign contributions. If you want to know why the banks get their way in bankruptcy with bankruptcy issues, look at the campaign contributions. If you want to know about the energy industry, why they get the policies they get, look at the campaign contributions. And so people have to really connect it to their lives. And if they do that, they then have to tell their members of Congress, they have to tell the candidates it's important to them. And that's the way you get people to listen.
It seems like it only catches people's attention when it's like a case like out in California with the congressman, the former military guy that got caught with the House issue.
Right, right.
It seems like that's the only time that it catches media's attention and the public's attention.
Right, and that's unfortunate but that's the nature of news, is the big scandals attract attention. The problem is the big scandals don't always show how the whole process has a problem. It should be because big scandals tend to focus on one person. But a lot of what's going on every day is a mini scandal, and that's what the press doesn't pick up on because, frankly, it's not big news.
Well, when you take a look at all of the information that you have on your website, the opensecrets.org, what are some of the most egregious things that you've seen congresspeople do in terms of taking money from different people and voting a certain way? Or can you even narrow it down?
Yeah, what we try to do is occasionally do vote correlations, ones where you can actually see a relationship between the money given and the votes, and bankruptcy was one of them. Bankruptcy was one where we could see the correlation that the campaign contributions came in and the members voted to support the banking industry's version of the bankruptcy bill. Another one that we've seen over the years, and I always find this one interesting because it is very hard to get a grasp on. There has been a battle going on forever between what are called the Ma Bells and the Baby Bells. These are the various telephone companies. And a lot of the battle has to do with access to people's houses for the internet and for telephone service. It affects every person's telephone bill and cable service. It's a battle that's been going on for years. Most of the public doesn't understand it. Frankly, most members of the Congress don't understand it. It's a very technical issue. But what we can see on our website and what we've shown is that there's a high correlation between where the telephone companies give their money and the votes that they get. These are the type of issues that basically news doesn't cover because it's complicated, but it affects everybody's pocketbook. So the issues like that, energy policy, look at all the energy money that's going to the Bush administration's campaign, his presidential campaign, to members of Congress, and you may understand why we have our energy policy. We actually, in our on our website, have issue alerts and cover specific issues such as Social Security reform, the energy bill, bankruptcy bill, and we discuss the issue and show you where the money is.
And now is a pretty good time for people to start getting into this because we have an election cycle coming up in 2006.
That's right. Now is the time to start looking at it. It gives you a good guide to where your representative or how your representative or a candidate will vote if you look at where they're getting their money from. We make it as simple as possible. You go and look at a candidate. Click on a candidate, and we'll show you the industries that are giving to them. You can click further and see the specific companies that are giving or the individuals who are related to a company who are giving. So we try to make it as simple as possible for people.
And that's www.opensecrets.org.
Correct.
Larry Noble, Executive Director at the Center for Responsive Politics, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
It was a pleasure, Liz. Thank
you. Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us. Stay with us. Much, much more to come.
And it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Lincoln Mercury. Eastbound 70 between 94 and a Blanchett Bridge, major road construction. Only two left lanes are getting through. Traffic is backed up east of Zumbo all the way to 5th Street. Eastbound 40 between Benaventer. Look for that off-ramp to be closed through August due to the construction work. You can use Kings Highway, Market, or Grand to get around the construction zone there. Eastbound 44 between 109 and the Merrimack River expect normal traffic there. Northbound 270 at 44, everything is on the move this hour. Westbound 270 between Riverview and New Florissant, look for no problems to report. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, that traffic has returned back to normal. Eastbound 40 from Clayton Skinker all the way into McKnight, look for very slow traffic. In both directions, the I-70 reversible lanes are closed for maintenance. And your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 split at the Poplar Street Bridge is returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, nothing to report. McCausland and Clayton Skinker, those lights are on red flash. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Lincoln Mercury. Come in now for employee discounts on all 2005 Lincoln and Mercury vehicles from Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury. Family to your family, welcome. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 90 for this evening. Mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers as well, a low around 70. For Tuesday, partly sunny skies, a 20% chance of showers with a high around 90. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the 70s. And on Wednesday, hot and humid, partly cloudy, high in the mid-90s. The highest heat index is expected to reach around 100 degrees by the afternoon, so we'll keep you posted as those become available. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 80 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 79 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call, and don't forget Mondays at 9 comes up at 9 o'clock. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Females can no longer leave their homes alone. Each time I go out, E and either a father, uncle, or cousin has to accompany me. It feels like we've gone back 50 years since the beginning of the occupation. A woman or girl out alone is at risk. An outing has to be arranged at least an hour beforehand. I state that I need to buy something or have to visit someone. Two males have to be procured, preferably large, and safety arrangements must be made in this total state of lawlessness. And always the question, but do you have to go out and buy it? Can't I get it for you? No, you can't, because the kilo of eggplant I absolutely have to select with my own hands is just an excuse to see the light of day and walk down the street. The situation is incredibly frustrating to females who work or go to college.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem.
Summer has officially begun, and warmer weather can mean danger for your cats and dogs. The ASPCA has issued a pet safety advisory, urging pet owners to protect their companion animals during the sweltering summer days. The organization offers these guidelines as a way to keep pets safe when the temperatures begin to rise. Keep your dog or cat well-groomed, as a clean coat can help to prevent summer skin problems. Never take an animal to the beach unless you can provide a shaded spot and plenty of fresh water for him or her to drink. Never leave your pet standing on hot asphalt. Bring your companion animal to the vet for a spring or early summer checkup, including a test for heartworm, if your dog is not on year-round preventive medication. And to prevent escape or accidental falls, make sure all windows in your home are properly screened. The ASPCA has provided national leadership in humane education for over a century and has over 1 million supporters today. Visit ASPCA.org for more information.
Hello, this is Brother Willie Loudon. Join me every Sunday morning at 8:30 and Let's Praise Him broadcast. Good gospel music and the latest church news to help you start your Sunday morning. So tune in on the Let's Praise Him broadcast every Sunday morning at 8:30 right here on WGNU.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors. No job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want my toll-free long-distance number, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. In our next hour, of course, we have Robert Greenwald is going to be joining us to talk about his new film about Walmart. Oh, it's going to be a good show. It's going to be a good show. I just want to tell everybody that in our last hour we had the Wake Up Call interns on the show. And I just want to tell everybody that their internships are up at the end or in August, near the end of August. And I will be looking for my next round of interns. So you can always email me at Liz Brown or at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. It's so much. It's so much fun to see how the interns turn out. We're going to do a show at the end of the internship. I'm going to bring back Vanquita Brown, my first intern, to talk about where her life is now and what she's doing and what she got out of the being an intern for the Wake Up Call. So stay tuned for that. Our number here is 454-0400, 454-6609, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. Does it seem like we continue to hear these stories? Does it seem like we continue to hear these stories? 11 U.S. soldiers have been charged with assaulting detainees in Iraq. And it's been a busy weekend in Iraq. 11 U.S. soldiers charged with assaulting detainees. 3 British soldiers killed by a roadside bomb in a rare attack in the relatively stable southern part of the country. You understand what's going on there? They're pushing. They're saying the British need to get up out of here. We're going to find you where you are. 3 British soldiers killed. Now, a lot of the British folks are in the southern part of the country where it's relatively stable. How are they getting killed in the southern part of the country? Saturday, also, suicide attackers are killed at least 9 Iraqi forces in a separate attack in Baghdad, just south of Mosul. Iraqi police also arrested a bomber in the capital before he could detonate amongst a crowd. Same place where 27 people, mostly children, were killed last week. These are stunning times. Let me see, how do I put this? These are relentlessly stunning time, and it's easy to get buried under. It's easy to get
exhausted. By the weight of the times that we live in. But so much is at stake. So much is at stake. We have British soldiers, 3, killed by a roadside bomb in what they're calling the relative stable south part of Iraq, southern part of Iraq. We have attacks within the green zone, another safe area in Iraq. I guess maybe instead of being obsessed with what the definition of is, we need to be concerned about what the definition of safe is. Is safe now a place where you can go and there's only one suicide bombing a week? Is that safe? Is safe now the deaths of 15 children as opposed to 40? Is calm one bombing every other hour? What is the definition of safe? It appears that the definition has been removed from its real meaning and carefully constructed like a spin report, like a partisan press release. The safe no longer has its definition. What is the definition of safe today? Because the fact of the matter is there are no safe places in Iraq. There is no green zone. It is all bad. It is all bad news. It is all bad actions. There are all bad things. There is no green zone. Let us be clear about that. And you cannot redefine what the word safe means. You can't redefine it and remain sane. You can't redefine it and remain honest. My name is Liz Brown. This be the wake-up call. Lord, have mercy. We have some stuff to talk about. Get to me. We're going to take a break. That's aight. We will be back at 454-0400 at 1-877-920-WGNU at revolution@lizbrown.com, at lizbrown.com, at www.wgnu.net. We'll be back. And of course, don't forget whiteRoseSociety.org. I'll be back.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Sawalha, Cameroon. In an effort to reduce poverty among African women, the African Development Bank has issued a financial grant that will provide 60% business enterprise funding for female entrepreneurs in Cameroon. The bank will begin a study in September on how it can promote female entrepreneurship in that country. In addition, contacts with big and small commercial banks will be nurtured to help make the remaining 40% of financing available to those interested in taking part in the program. A team of about a dozen female business heads are going to be recruited to serve as consultants to the program. They'll also make a list of banks they think are most suitable to be a part of it. And Dateline New York. Some serious health problems have been reported by women using the birth control patch Ortho Evra. 12 deaths happened last year in women using the patch. The deaths were believed to be the result of blood clots. Dozens of other strokes and blood clot-related problems have also been reported. A number of lawsuits have been filed, and more are surely on the way. The FDA and the manufacturer are said to have been aware of possible problems with the product before it was ever put on the market, and it discovered that blood clotting issues were 3 times higher for the patch than those from the use of a birth control pill. A spokesman for Ortho McNeil, which is a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson, says none of the deaths have been directly linked to the patch, and the company considers the device safe, pointing out that some 4 million women have used the patch safely. Blood clots are a proven risk from using hormonal birth control because the estrogen released from birth control measures promotes blood coagulation. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Ever start a project by yourself, only to find you needed someone to help you? The fact is, when you link your resources with those of others, more gets done faster and benefits more people. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has helped thousands of children in 20 countries in Europe, Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Hope for the Nations links people and resources in the U.S. and Canada to help homeless children become tomorrow's leaders, productive leaders who help their communities become self-sufficient, and help even more people. Learn more about Hope for the Nations. Find out how you can link your resources and help children throughout the world. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. This is one project that needs your help.
Hello out there, Radio Land. This is Pastor A.A. Boyd, a proud pastor of the Holy Olivet Baptist Church. I come on this radio station every Saturday, the Glory Time broadcast from 7 to 7:30. Will you turn me on? You'll certainly be glad you did. And God bless you.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
Tuesday morning at 8, our guest will be Professor Robert Pape from the University of Chicago. His new book, The Logic of Suicide Terrorism, points out the erroneous perceptions most Americans have about the motivation behind terrorism. He says it has nothing to do with Islamic fundamentalism. Rather, it addresses the concept of foreign occupation. He also says that in 1996, Osama bin Laden said the United States had a plan to conquer Iraq, divide it into thirds, and give a portion to Israel, and do the same thing to Saudi Arabia. Are we playing right into his hands? Dying to Win with Professor Robert Pape, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Ooh, I got something I want to talk about. Y'all in here. The time has come to end my feelings. There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion. And you know, I sure got mine. It's my world. Don't you come on messing with my world.
It's my world. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
Good morning. I'm outstanding. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. On your Thursday show where you had the men talking about the bombing of the planes running into the towers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I got my son hip to your White Rose Society. He taped it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did. He got me a CD made off of that. Sure did. But you know, some people don't believe what that man was saying.
Well, I don't know that I haven't gotten that people didn't believe him. I've gotten that people don't want to believe him because
they don't want to believe him.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Because you cannot listen to his words without believing that he's telling the truth.
Yes, ma'am.
But what you have to believe outside of what he says is the part that's troubling to hear and to think and to be in a place.
We got so many people. These people believe that they march around a building. They go out of town against abortion. But they voted for this president. Can you believe that? They say, well, we over there now. We got to stay. What's the difference between killing the baby and killing the soldier? I don't know what's the difference.
I think they don't
know what the difference is. Something.
It depends on who you are using how you are defining the word they. There are people that have political agendas that advocate to their constituents a certain position. And their constituents, because they trust these individuals, advocate what they are told. And you have it's even more problematic when the individuals that are doing the they are advocating to constituents, when they are religious people, because
that's
people
right.
have faith and they don't believe that their religious leaders would lie to them, would mislead them, or would use them to carry out a political agenda.
Yes, ma'am. And so
in some respects, people need to take responsibilities for their own lives and look outside of the world, outside of what your so-called religious leaders are telling you, and see if it really makes sense.
That's what I'm trying to say. These Christian people, we marched, how many days did we march 2 years ago try to save our school, and these same Christian people voted for this administration, both administrations. Our mayors, administration, and our government administration, they voted for those administrations. They laughed at us because we're marching out there trying to save our school. They're talking about our kids need education, but yet still they wouldn't help us not one bit, and they're supposed to be Christian. I sometimes question some of these Christian people calling themselves Christian. What are you supposed to fight for? What do you want? You think you're going to be a believer in a Christian and don't get out here and fight? You got to get out here and fight for what you believe in.
Thank you for
that. Thank you, Leah.
454-0400. There are some people who only fight when they believe they have an advantage. I don't know that that's really fighting. I think it's more like I want to join the winning team. And given the fact that the Republican conservatives are in control of the House, Republican conservatives are in control of the Senate numerically, and a Republican conservative is in the White House, people want to be on that side, and they haven't done the heavy lifting to analyze whether or not these are the right people to be in charge. Because far too many people look at politics as a sporting event as opposed to what it really is, they're more interested in being on the winning side. And I think to some respects, that's part of human nature for a lot of people, that I want to be on the winning side. Well, the fact of the matter is that it's not about winning. It's about doing what is right and doing what is honorable and doing something for something that is larger and more honorable than you. It is an inconsistency that is troubling at the least and hypocritical at its worst. To advocate that you have a concern for children when your concern manages to stop at the color line. That a little thing like color stops your concern. That's not real concern. That's really an agenda.
to say that, that you are concerned about children, as the caller was saying in the last call. You weren't concerned about what is happening to the children in schools, but you say on the one hand that you are concerned about children. And another way of saying that you're not concerned is giving up. Why is there a willingness to give up on certain kids? Why is there such a willingness to throw your hands up about certain kids? Why is there such a desire to say, oh, Lord, we've tried everything, and not try anything? Is that real concern about children when you have a willingness to give up so easily on certain types of children? It's fascinating, and if you want to see the compare and the contrast of this, look at the concern about meth. We had a meeting, a town hall meeting by a Carnahan congressman that's now a congressman. How are we going to deal with this meth issue? We now have foster care filled with meth babies. We have children not going to school because of meth parents. This is a nationwide problem. And not once out of his mouth did I hear the word jail time. Not once out of his mouth did I hear three strikes and you're out. Not once out of his mouth or anybody else's mouth that's talking about this meth scourge. We're not talking about locking them up and throwing away the keys and defining an entire race of people by the negative actions of a handful of the few of them. You don't imagine how many times on the front page of the paper you would see a house, if it was located in North St. Louis, that they had to send a machine into because it was too dangerous for grown people to go into when it involved crack. There are three bomb machines that are now broken because they've been used so often down in getting meth, that the bomb machines that they send into these meth houses because they can't send cops in because it's too dangerous for them, and they use them so often that three of them are broken. And that's never been on the front page of the paper. Never. Why? Because of who the face of meth is. Oh, it's not about the crime. It's never been about the crime. It's about the person that stands accused of it. You don't love our babies if you don't love all of them. You don't fight for our babies if you don't fight for all of them. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We will be back with Robert Greenwald, director, coming out with a new movie about Walmart. And it ain't good for Walmart. I'll be back. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Where the eye hit land. That was somewhere south around Cozumel, Playa del Carmen, or the city of Tulum. And because it was such a small, concentrated hurricane, the area of catastrophic damage will be quite limited, about 15, 20 miles across.
There are no immediate reports of any deaths. The damage assessment comes later this morning. Phones and power are out across the peninsula. Emily left the Yucatan as a Category 2 storm, but forecasters say it could regain strength over the warm Gulf waters. Right now, the hurricane is expected to reach the coast of northeast Mexico by early Wednesday. About 500 customers in the Phoenix area remain without power after last night's dust storm. The wind was howling, and this man says he thought he spotted a twister.
It was kind of a reddish and real dark cloud, and it was, I'd never seen a real tornado, but I would say that's what it looked like.
Some flights were delayed last night getting into and out of Sky Harbor Airport. President Bush is hosting a White House visit with the Prime Minister of India.
India's new prime minister gets a welcome with the greatest fanfare and protocol, but he will not get one of his prime wishes. He wants help securing a voting seat on the UN Security Council. The U.S. says that bureaucratic reform at the U.N. must come before any talk of expanding the influential Security Council.
ABC News White House correspondent Ann Compton. Film director Roman Polanski testified today on the first day of his libel case against the publishers of Vanity Fair. He's suing over an article from 2002 that claimed he seduced a woman en route to his murdered wife's funeral. The publisher is contesting the suit. This is ABC News.
People talk about the new service economy, but America is still very much a land where we build things, create things. And one place where quality has really taken hold is GM. A new study by J.D. Power & Associates was just released. And out of 84 assembly plants in North and South America, we took the top three awards. These are the plants where we build cars like the Buick LaCrosse, the Pontiac Grand Prix, the Chevy Impala and Monte Carlo, and the Cadillac DeVille, among others. Anytime you sweep a segment, it's a sign of real excellence. For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Tell me where you are, and I will jump into my car. I won't slow down.
The Gold, Silver, and Bronze Plant Quality Awards. Only one car company could do that. Only GM. To learn more, visit onlygm.com/quality.
Lots of mowing and clipping today at Arlington National Cemetery.
Order!
It is one of America's most hallowed places. The final resting place for over 290,000. And with so many visitors, Arlington always needs some sprucing up. So thousands are volunteering to cut grass, prune trees, you name it.
Oh, it's amazing. It's a sight to be seen.
Dan Foley heads the Professional Landscape Network, whose members are providing some $150,000 in services. Bill Greenwood, ABC News, Washington.
The country's governors meeting in Des Moines warned the cost of getting a driver's license will go through the roof because states will have to verify that applicants are U.S. citizens or legal residents. Governors complained the extra cost of security searches will make local DMV offices more like FBI branches. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Tropicana Pure Premium. St. Louis police are looking for suspects in a fatal drive-by shooting. Investigators say someone in a vehicle fired shots around 7:15 p.m. yesterday at Lucille and Park in North St. Louis. A 20-year-old man was pronounced dead at the area scene and at an area hospital. A 14-year-old was also injured in the shooting. No arrests have been made at this hour. The 1300 block of Washington Avenue is the latest scene for redevelopment of downtown St. Louis in what officials call the largest ribbon cutting ever. Eight businesses, including restaurants, galleries, and a business support center, opened their doors on Friday. Jim Clore, the president of the Downtown St. Louis Partnership, says benefits of the revitalized Washington Avenue are not always measured in dollars.
It makes the street scene more lively, and that makes it more attractive to redevelop buildings. This is the area where there are a lot of lofts, people starting to live in downtown. So the two things go hand in hand. With more residents in downtown, it supports more street-level activity. And with more street-level activity, it makes downtown feel even safer.
The Downtown St. Louis Partnership says there has been more than $2 billion in new reinvestment money downtown since 1999. The friends and family of a University of Missouri football player say they will say their final farewells today. 19-year-old Aaron O'Neill will be laid to rest in a private ceremony around 11 a.m. at an 11 a.m. service at Westside Missionary Baptist Church on Page. O'Neill, a graduate of Parkway North High School, collapsed on a practice field in Columbia last Tuesday after a voluntary workout. Medical examiners have not yet determined the cause of his death, but have ruled out trauma, foul play, and disease.
And finally this hour, St. Louis County pet owners are advised to get their pets vaccinated for rabies. Robert Twillman, the program manager for veterinary services in St. Louis County Vet Health Department, says there are a total of 15 rabid bats in the county last year, compared to 11 already discovered this year. A rabies vaccination clinic is set for Thursday from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at Tillis Park. For more additional information, call 314-726-6655. This hour's news has been sponsored by Tropicana Pure Premium. Tropicana's invigorating nutrition and fresh-squeezed taste can make anyone feel like a morning person. Have a Tropicana morning. Now taking a look at this hour's WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Westbound 44 between 109 and Allington Six Flags. Exit, look for an object in the roadway believed to be large tire tread in the left lane. Westbound 70 at Grand, an accident is reported. Eastbound 40, Vandeventer off-ramp is closed through August due to road construction. You can use an alternate by using Kings Highway Market or Grand. Northbound 55 between Bayless and 44, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 from Antire to Merrimack River Bridge, expect normal traffic. Northbound 270 at 44, traffic is flowing freely this hour. Westbound 270 at Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way into New Florissant, you can expect normal traffic in your 9 a.m. commute. Westbound 40 between Laclede Station and Hanley, expect heavy volume due to the rain. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 55-70 split at the Poplar Street Bridge. Everything's flowing freely this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, everything looks good. And McCausland and Clayton Skinker, look for those flat lights to be on red flash, so use caution in that area. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. There's never been a better time to get to your Chrysler dealer than right now during the Summer Sales Drive, where you can get big cash allowances or low financing on some of Chrysler's best products. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies today. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms is expected throughout the day. A high around 90 this evening. Mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, 40%, with a low around 70. Tuesday, partly sunny, a chance for showers, a high around 90. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And then on Wednesday, hot, humid, partly cloudy, high in the mid to upper 90s. The highest heat index is expected to reach around 100 by late in the afternoon, so use caution on Wednesday. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under drizzle, we have 78 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 78 and drizzle as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Mondays at 9. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to keep alcohol out of the hands of kids. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
Summer's fun and everything, but it's hard on our skin. Did you know that sweat can make your skin less soft and supple? Then add salt water, chlorine, and our skin can dry out really fast. Plus, there's the pain of sunburns and the itchiness of bug bites. Can our diets help us weather these effects? The American Dietetic Association tells WebMD the answer is yes. We can help heal our weathered skin with berries, which contain high levels of antioxidants and vitamin C. Protein in the form of lean meats, beans, nuts, and seeds is also good for skin health. Drinking lots of water prevents dehydration, so drink it up. And since calcium can also be lost through sweating, it's good to replace it by eating low-fat dairy products like skim milk, cottage cheese, and yogurt. If you include these foods each day, it'll not only help your health during the summer, but year-round. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, drop down the sun. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, drop down the sun.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress has been made. If you take a knife and knife out 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
Stop
listening.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal security.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome, welcome to Mondays at 9, and don't forget, we are archived daily on whiterosesociety.org. If you miss an hour, you can go get an hour archived daily. Check out the website. We launch officially on August 1st, but right now you can go check out my articles through Brown Eyes at lizbrown.com, and we also are on the World Wide Web every hour of every day at www.wgnu.net. You can catch us live at www.wgnu.net or email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Ooh, we have talked on this show quite a bit about Walmart. We've talked quite a bit about Walmart, and now we are excited to say that there is a movie coming out to talk about Walmart. And the interesting thing about that this movie is that one of the many interesting things about this movie is that the director, the producer of it is Robert Greenwald. You know him. He is the director-producer of Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism, a documentary that exposed the right-wing bias of Fox News. He is also the executive producer of a trilogy of undocumentaries, Unprecedented, the 2000 presidential election, and Uncovered, the war in Iraq, and Unconstitutional, the post-9/11 erosion of American civil liberties. You know him, I'm sure, from movies on television that you have seen: The Burning Bed, Our Guys, Shattered Spirits, Forgotten Prisoners, The Crooked E, The Truth About Enron. Robert Greenwald, director, he's joining us from Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Robert Greenwald, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you here. So, you got Walmart in your crosshairs.
Oh, yeah. Sure do. It's quite a story.
I know it is. Tell us about the motivation of this. Well, why?
Well, the motivation was pretty simple. A neighbor of mine was telling me, a student, that he'd just gotten this job, full-time job, working at Walmart. I said, oh, that's great. You'll be able to get health benefits. And he said, no. He said, that's not what happens. He says, very difficult. Less than half the people get health benefits. He says, but what Walmart does is they tell me how to get government aid. I said, wait a minute. You're working full-time for a corporation that made $10 billion last year, and they're not providing health care, and they're telling you nothing wrong with government aid, but they're telling you how to go get it, how to get food stamps and health care? He said, yeah. And so that led me to begin investigating. I thought he was making it up. And of course, it turns out it's all over the country that this is their policy, that, yes, they sell us milk for 5 cents less, but we're paying for it in our taxes that are supporting this, the largest corporation in the world that employs 1,500,000 people.
And just thinking about that, you're working. These people have jobs.
Full-time jobs.
Full-time jobs. And their boss, their company says, go get welfare, because we know what we're paying you.
Exactly.
You know, it's not enough.
Yeah, we are paying you so little that you're going to qualify. In a lot of stores, they give them the forms. They have signs. They have signs posted up about how to do it. I mean, this is so outrageous that this, you know, company pretending to be representing the best in America is doing this. But it turns out that this was kind of the tip of the iceberg, you know, as we've been going on. And I've been on this for 9 months with an incredible group of hardworking people who are researching and finding in all aspects, you know, all kinds of ways that this large corporation plays unfair. You know, they come into small communities. They drive out the family businesses. Now, you know, competition is part of what it's about, right? But they come into these small communities and medium-sized communities, and now they're trying to get into the cities, and they get tax benefits. So it's not a fair fight. They're not paying sales taxes. Some places, they build them the roads. They give them the land for free. A conservative estimate is that Walmart, the corporation, from these cities and towns around the United States of America, is getting over $1 billion in subsidy, our money, again, going to this corporation, whose five family members, the Walton family members, are worth between them, are you sitting down?
Yes, sir.
$100 billion.
Jesus. Robert, is this the Walmart that Sam Walton envisioned? Is this what he planned on doing?
I don't think so. That's a really, really terrific question. What we're finding in the hundreds of people that we've been interviewing is over and over again, they talk about how the company changed once Walton died, how it became taken over by the bean counters, by the bureaucrats, by, you know, the executives who make millions and millions of dollars a year, and now are really greedy and, frankly, ruthless in pushing into any community whether or not they're wanted there. I don't think Walton would have gone along with that, because one of his things he said over and over again, don't go where you're not wanted, one. But his biggest point was treat your associates well. They call them associates, not workers. Now, there's no question they're being treated badly, from the pay to the gender discrimination to racial discrimination to environmental issues to undocumented workers. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
It's almost like name a sin and they've committed it.
There you go. And what we're doing with the movie, you know, is bringing all of this together and shining the bright light on it so that people can see what's going on. And one of the most exciting things that we're doing on this film that we didn't really do on the others is we're using people all over the country are getting involved as field producers. So if any of your members, you know, your audience folks want to go, they go to walmartmovie.com and they can sign up. And we have hundreds of people around the country who are taking photos, who are doing research, who are sending us stories, who are working on graphics. You know, whatever it is, we're finding ways to put people to work, because I figure our little group of 20 can hardly take on, you know, this Goliath. But if we all get together, we sure can.
Well, let me play you this clip, because it's interesting that you say that you want people to participate in it. Let me play this clip, Howard.
Well, people keep telling me to check under my car before I get in it in the morning. But we have the thing that look, I have it relatively easy. You know what I mean? My life is not dependent on Walmart. What has been deeply troubling as we've gone across the country interviewing hundreds of people is the culture of fear, the people whose only job that is, and these are not the enemies. You know, the enemy is Walmart, the corporation. People have been afraid to talk to us, have met us in the past as well as current employees. So we asked Walmart, we said, we want you to guarantee that you're not going to fire anybody who will cooperate with us and talk to us with the film. And they did release a statement saying there would not be consequences. We will see if they live up to it.
So it's like Deep Throat. I mean, you're meeting in parking lots with people in the dark.
Hundreds and thousands of Deep Throats. Well, yes, it's unfortunate in the United States of America and all that we try to stand for and the best side of ourselves that the largest corporation should have this intimidation factor where people who need these jobs badly have been afraid over and over again to speak to us because they don't want to lose the job they have and they don't want this huge company coming after them. So, as always, you know, when we get together, when we organize, the power is in our uniting and bringing ourselves together. And I think that over time, I mean, the good news, I think we're going to be able to change this company. I'm very optimistic, you know, that once the film comes out and people continue to do the great organizing work that the film leads them to, that Walmart is going to see you can make money without being greedy and without playing unfair.
And one of the things my first recollection of hearing how Walmart does business is the fact that they come into towns and they displace all of these small businesses. Does your film talk about the cost of that, the impact of that, and the legacy of that? It's almost like depleted uranium. I mean, you won the war, but everybody suffers for the rest of their life because you were there.
Absolutely. It's a very, very important part of the film. The film in general, by the way, the approach is very much a personal approach, unlike Outfoxed, which we use the material from Fox News and the experts. Here what we're doing is we're following individual stories around, and we're seeing through these people how Walmart functions, and the destruction of communities is a huge issue. There are hundreds of communities around the United States of that are fighting them, and lots of them are fighting them successfully.
But the fighting back is kind of a recent phenomenon, isn't it?
Yes, it's very recent, but it's spreading like wildfire, and it's partly because, for a period of time, Walmart did go where they were wanted in small communities that didn't have access to all of the products they were selling. But now they're trying to go into the cities, and they're going into communities that don't want them, and to communities that maybe are underserved in terms of the goods that are available to them but don't want this huge structure coming in, radically driving down the prices of homes in the area and destroying whatever small mom-and-pop businesses there are, and then providing lousy, stinking, low-cost jobs, and particularly when they go into minority communities, they want everyone to thank them for providing these lousy jobs, which is, I think, an awful attitude on their part.
One of the things that I've noticed, because I live in a section of the city that is predominantly people of African descent, and throughout the streets of North St. Louis, what I see are these Walmart signs that talk about, you can come cash your check here. You know, we don't even get the signs that say, come shop at Walmart. We get the signs that say, come cash your check here.
Yeah, well, sadly, their attitude towards the African-American community, the Latino community, it's a very kind of condescending attitude. You should be thankful for the crumbs you're getting is the message behind the message. Now, you know, obviously we know there's serious problems about jobs and unemployment and lack of goods in various inner-city areas, certainly. But the solution is not these big Walmarts that say, hey, you know, thank us for coming in. As one of the reverends called it, you know, plantation capitalism.
When we look at the things that Walmart is doing, it's one thing just to look at what they're already doing, and that's scary and bad enough. But they have a whole lot of plans beyond what we can see right now, and that's scary.
Yes. Well, I think it's scary, but it also, you know, as you say in the introduction to your show, you know, it's the power we have that we need to take, and that's what I'm. One of the reasons that as difficult as it is, you know, the pleasure in doing the films is taking power back and working with the thousands of people who are working on the Walmart movie around the country. You know, we're able to say, hey, look, this is what's coming, but we can do something about it. We can break our isolation. We can go to walmartmovie.com. There's work on the film. There's work on organizations. There's steering, you know, if it's Walmart's coming into your community, we steer you to different websites that can help you fight against it. It's letting people know that there are ways to stop them. They have 3,600 stores in the country now. They open one new store every 36 hours. And we're going to slow them down, and we're going to stop it. And ultimately, I think we can force them to be, you know, reasonably good corporate citizens. They may never be our ideals, but I think we can help stop this overt abuse.
And when I was talking about looking at what they're doing, I meant that as a motivating factor, because Walmart now wants to get into banks.
Everything, yes. banks. Just you name it, and they're going there. In fact, in Arizona, Arkansas, and Missouri, they have control. They've set up a separate corporation, and it owns and runs banks. So, you know, it becomes really the coal mining industry,
yes,
or the plantation industry, where everything is controlled by them.
Absolutely. When you started doing this film, how difficult was it to get Walmart people to talk to you, and how successful have you been at getting the actual people in the business talking to you? And how far up were you able to go?
Well, how far up is interesting, and I don't want to say too much because
okay.
Walmart is monitoring us very carefully, and surprise is a great element. But let's just say I think you and the listeners will be very pleased at how far up we've been able to get when the film comes out. Initially, it was very, very tough, and much tougher than I expected. I didn't think, I mean, I understand somebody who works at Fox News not wanting to go on record and talk to me, but, you know, Walmart, 1,500,000 people? But it was a very, very difficult undertaking to convince them that, you know, they would not be immediately fired and blacklisted and things like that. Over time, with the help of the amazing people at Brave New Films who have been out in the field doing this work and researching and living and talking, we've gotten now lots of people to come forward. And now that the film is public, because it's been announced and stuff, every day we're getting leads and tips and different people. So I think we've broken the logjam, but there still exists an environment and a culture of fear, which is what this corporation is about.
And in terms of the interesting new ways that you're making this film, the internet has served quite a significant presence in the making of this film.
It would not be possible without it. Now, you know, the irony is, first of all, I personally am a technological idiot, and I barely could work email. Now I have carpal tunnel syndrome from using it so much. But I mean, it truly could not be done. There's one of the producers in the film, Jim Gilliam, is, you know, quite brilliant at this, and he's organized it so that we now, you know, the film's going to be out in November, by the way. You can go on the website now, and we have 1,600 house parties all around the country.
Wow.
So we want people to sign up from their church, from their place of work, show it at a family business, show it at a school, show it at a, you know, any place you can think of, and you go on now, and Jim has organized it, so you can choose where and how you will have one of these screenings. You can go on now, as we were talking about, and sign up to work with us and to give us your kind of skill set. I'm interested in doing the following, and then we'll, you know, find ways to get you involved, or we can help say, you know, my relative is fighting with Walmart in this community, and we'll send you to people and websites that can be of assistance.
Robert, how long is this film going to be? 7 days?
The film is, yeah, right now it's 20 hours. No, it'll be, you know, an hour and 15 minutes, and then we'll have lots of additional material on the DVD. We'll have lots of additional material on the website. But in November, there are going to be is going to be a week of screenings,
wow.
which will start on on Sunday and go through the week. And we're getting a wonderful response from churches around the country too that are signing up for screenings.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Mondays at 9. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking to director Robert Greenwald about the new movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. Is that the name of it now? Do we know the name yet?
That's the name.
That's the name, The High Cost of Low Price. We're going to talk about why I asked that question in just a second when we come back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us, folks.
You don't have to travel to Washington, D.C. to visit the West Wing. Just listen to Herbsteck online at WGNU.net.
Are you looking to get your transmission fixed? Well, take it on over to Roy's Transmission, where you get great quality, great price, and great service. Some transmission shops will tell you you have to tear your transmission down to fix it. No, you don't. Take it on over to Roy's, and he will hook your transmission up, run a diagnostic on it, and tell you what's wrong with it and how much it will cost to fix it. Roy's Transmission, 5524 Riverview. That's 5524 Riverview. Or give him a call at 383-2019. 383-2019. Roy's Transmission.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Visit the Columbia Bottom Conservation Area at 801 Strodman Road in St. Louis for a wildflower walk on Saturday, July 23rd from 9 to 10:30 a.m. Join us to explore the wildflowers and grasses found on the prairie at the conservation area. To find out more, call 314-877-6014. Something wild to do from WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8, our guest will be Professor Robert Pape from the University of Chicago. His new book, The Logic of Suicide Terrorism, points out the erroneous perceptions most Americans have about the motivation behind terrorism. He says it has nothing to do with Islamic fundamentalism. Rather, it addresses the concept of foreign occupation. He also says that in 1996, Osama bin Laden said the United States had a plan to conquer Iraq, divide it into thirds, and give a portion to Israel, and do the same thing to Saudi Arabia. Are we playing right into his hands? Dying to Win with Professor Robert Pape, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
I am back talking to director Robert Greenwald. He is the director of the new movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price. He's joining us from Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And Robert, you kind of had a contest kind of thing going about the name of the movie.
Yeah, it was very interesting. The original name we came up with was Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price. And then when we put it out and I started looking at it, I started to have second doubts or doubts, thinking it doesn't quite look like a movie title. And then I spoke to George Lakoff, who's this brilliant guy who helps people, progressives, with the choice of language and the kinds of right words to use to help get our message out. And George said, well, a little concerned about it because he was afraid people would just remember the last word, which is low price. So what we did was, again, you asked earlier about the Internet. We said, well, you know what? The Internet is really the thing that has really helped me understand it, is you think of it as a conversation
mm-hmm.
rather than a speech. So I said, okay, let's have a conversation. So we went out to you know, the people who were interested, and we said, give us your suggestions and vote on it. Well, we got hundreds of really great suggestions. We whittled it down to about four or five finalists, and lo and behold, by an overwhelming majority, Walmart, the high cost of low price, was the winner. So,
and that's when I looked at the choices too, I was like, no, Walmart, the yeah. high cost of low price. That's the one that says it all.
There you go.
It really does. It says everything that you're trying to say. When you were interviewing people and listening to their stories about Walmart, what are some of the stories that really stand out in your mind, aside from that amazing story that got you started on this?
Well, I think stood out of my mind is twofold. One is there are a tremendous number of people they represent in many ways the best of America. They're hardworking. They're not asking for something, but they want a fair shake. They want a fair opportunity. They want a corporation, an employer to play fair. And when you hear their stories about the hours that they have to work, or the tolls that it takes on their family, or again, over and over and over again, the poor pay and the horrible health care, it becomes cumulative, you know, over a period of time. These are not rebel, radical people, more Republicans than Democrats, by the way, that we've interviewed, because the roots of Walmart, a lot of it in the South and small southern communities. And they are people who have been betrayed, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that gets my back up big time, because they are, you know, it's a corporation that, again, nobody's objecting to competition, nobody's objecting to making a buck, whether it be individuals or a company. But come on, $10 billion in profit, and not to give health care, and not to treat your workers with a degree of fairness, that's not American. That's outrageous.
Doesn't this kind of what Walmart does as a corporation, isn't it kind of indicative of the culture, if you will, of corporations in America today?
Yes, I think so, and it is a part of the problem. You know, again, I want to make the film emotional and dramatic and interesting, but I think when you, hopefully, when I finish it, and I'm still working like, you know, a lunatic, we have editors working all day and different people coming in at night to try to get it done, but I think when it's finished, people hopefully will look at the movie and will just ask that question. In other words, how much, when is enough enough, and what is the responsibility that corporations have beyond just making a buck? What is the responsibility that corporations have to the United States of America, to our citizens, who, after all, allow them to exist? What is the responsibility they have to give back to the society, not just to squeeze a nickel? And where do we draw the line and say no more?
Well, given how financially powerful Walmart is, and given the fact that Walmart has now only recently entered into in a real significant way, entered into the political world, and given the fact that Walmart is a huge advertiser and is weighs very very heavily in the decision making out there, where does one get money to make a film that is anti-Walmart? How do you get your money for that?
Well, it's been very hard. In fact, we had one major donor who pulled out because he was afraid that Walmart wouldn't carry somebody in the movie business wouldn't carry his films.
Because I mean, Walmart is one of the largest sellers of videos and DVDs.
Oh, by far, yeah. And the DVD is where major studios now count on 60% or 65% of their income is not at the box office, it's the DVD sales.
Mm.
So, yes, it's been incredibly hard, and frankly, we're not there yet. You know, I've taken loans to keep the thing going, and I'm as always hopeful. You know, I'm nervous and hopeful at the same time that when the day is done, people will support the film and will sell enough copies of the film and get it out there widely enough, and that people will contribute small contributors around the, you know, around the country who will help us get there. So it's never an easy problem, but I think it's a crucial one that we begin to put the spotlight on and have a tool. You know, what's been so incredibly exciting to me about the other films, way, way beyond my wildest expectations, is once there's a movie and it's on DVD, now it's available to everybody. Everybody listening becomes an organizer or becomes a film distributor, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You have a DVD, you have a television, you're there. You bring people together. And the, you know, the literally millions of people have seen these little documentaries. And I hope we will continue that and exceed that, actually, with Walmart.
Now, Walmart is the biggest seller of DVDs that's out there in this country. Can they say no to selling your film? And do you have any expectations that they would carry a movie entitled Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price?
Well, one of the things we're assuming is that they will not be carrying it.
I think that's a fair assumption.
They did not carry Outfox.
Mm.
You know, it'll be interesting to say to them, now, wait a minute. You're interested in making profit, right? Now, here's a film that you'll be able to sell and make a profit. So why wouldn't you carry it? Because what they justify over and over again is, well, we have to do this because we're profit-making. So, you know, here we'll be happy to say to them, gee, guys, don't you want to make a profit?
How much does this feel like it is similar to a political campaign? In the movement of this and the advocacy of this, of in the drawing in of different people on this, this kind of feels like a political campaign, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's two distinct parts to it. The movie itself is very much not that, because the movie itself, as I'm saying, is very much a human story. I hope and believe that around the film, the film will help those who are working to change Walmart. From small family businesses to, you know, environmental groups to women's groups, et cetera, because what I understand more and more now, having done a few of these films, is they're tools, and they are tools for political change. They are tools for social change. What's exciting about this film is the people who are interested in changing Walmart cut across all kinds of narrow partisan political.
So we have Republicans and Democrats, people of African descent, we have Asian people, we have Hispanic people, all of that.
Absolutely. It's a true coalition where people, you know, maybe this coalition doesn't agree on anything else, but, you know, if the value of your home that you've worked your life for suddenly is destroyed because Walmart moves in next door, no matter who you voted for, that's a reality. If the family business that, you know, the hardware store or the grocery store or the flower store that's been handed down from generation to generation is destroyed because Walmart moves in, no matter who you voted for, you know that's a reality. You know, if you're working full time and going to the, you know, local hospital and seeing that you can't have the care you need, again, no matter who you voted for, that's a reality that cuts through.
And we have to take a break. I'm talking to director Robert Greenwall. He's joining us from Wyoming. He is the director of the new movie that's coming out real soon, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price. This is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. Stay with us.
Moon that excites me, the thrills and delights me. Oh no, yes, just nervous you.
I really wanted to help the homeless, so I donated money to a shelter, which gets them a hot meal and a bed for the next day they're on the street again. So I start working at a job training center, but the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. Now they can't go back to shelters, because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, Tehran. A leading Muslim cleric in Iran says the recent bombings in London may have been staged by the British government itself. Ayatollah Ahmad Janati said over the weekend that the British government would stand to benefit the most from the episode in order to justify its presence in Iraq and Afghanistan. It would allow the government to say that if terrorism is not fought in those countries, such domestic acts of violence could happen. He also accused Prime Minister Tony Blair and American President George Bush of creating the Al-Qaeda monster of Islamic militancy. His remarks can be traced back to beliefs fostered in 19th century Persia when Russia and Britain tried to gain control of trade routes to India by conducting a number of military encounters and diplomatic moves that became known as the Great Game. And Dateline Honolulu. A South Korean businessman who owned a large garment factory in American Samoa has been sentenced to 4 years in prison, or make that 40 years in prison, for trafficking human beings. Ki-Soo Lee also was ordered to pay nearly $2 million in restitution to about 300 immigrant workers he recruited to work with the promise of 3 years of employment at a salary of $400 a month. 2 years ago, he had been convicted of other charges, including involuntary servitude, extortion, and money laundering. He was the owner of the Daewusa Garment Factory that operated in the U.S. territory from 1998 to 2001 by using immigrant workers from China and Vietnam. The immigrants had to pay him as much as $8,000 just to get a job at the factory. Lee had threatened the workers with beatings and deportation if they complained about their working conditions. Some workers said guards at the compound carried plastic clubs, and the entire facility was surrounded with razor wire. Workers had to put in 18-hour days, but were never paid on a regular basis. They also had to pay Lee another $200 a month for food and housing. But they were never given nutritious meals, and some female workers said that the poor diet caused them to stop having their menstrual cycles. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Females can no longer leave their homes alone. Each time I go out, E and either a father, uncle, or cousin has to accompany me. It feels like we've gone back 50 years since the beginning of the occupation. A woman or girl out alone is at risk. An outing has to be arranged at least an hour beforehand. I state that I need to buy something or have to visit someone. Two males have to be procured, preferably large, and safety arrangements must be made in this total state of lawlessness. And always the question, but do you have to go out and buy it? Can't I get it for you? No, you can't, because the kilo of eggplant I absolutely have to select with my own hands is just an excuse to see the light of day and walk down the street. The situation is incredibly frustrating to females who work or go to college.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call
The Party Line with Steve Franklin, Monday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon.
Summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerangs. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Ryan. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Mondays at 9. Don't forget, we are archived daily on the WhiteRoseSociety.org. Website is LizBrown.com. We broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. This morning, Mondays at 9, we are talking to Director Robert Greenwall of Walmart, the high cost of low price. He's joining us from Wyoming. And Robert, one of the things I can't let you get away without talking about is the evil smiley.
Well, we're in the midst of yet another contest right now with Evil Smiley, who we've decided wants to clean up his or her act, if you will. And so we're looking for slogans for Evil Smiley that we will then help spread the word to let people know that Evil Smiley is maybe more evil or less evil than they have thought.
Well, so tell us who Evil Smiley is.
Oh, well, there's in the Walmart, for those people who don't know the Walmart billions that they spend on ads, there's usually the smiley face. So we are now saying that smiley face is no longer smiley, but smiley face has become evil. And therefore, we, part of our job at WalmartMovie.com, to help let the world know about Evil Smiley and to give him an appropriate slogan so the world will know what Evil Smiley is all about as a visual, if you will, for what Walmart is doing around the country.
And Evil Smiley is part of it's the poster. It's the,
yeah,
the face of the movie, the high price of low, or the high cost of low prices.
Exactly. So that on the, again, at the Walmart movie site, you can see our poster and you'll see the Evil Smiley face. And you'll help us figure out what Evil Smiley should be saying, which is another example, you know, as you were asking before about how the Internet, again, we couldn't have done this without the Internet. And, you know, it makes it just more possible for people at work or at home or at a cafe where they go online to go check it out. And also to, you know, as I was saying before, to sign up for the screenings. We also have Lisa Smithline, who's one of the producers, is helping people arrange screenings and providing material. So if you haven't done it before, don't be shy. You know, just go online and we'll get you whatever you need so that you can have your very own premiere in your home or your church or your place of work.
And I guess the next question that I have is does this the making of this movie, the Walmart, the high cost of low price, does it feel different? Are you more passionate about this film than you were about Outfoxed? Or is it just different?
Well, it's more personal. You know, with Outfoxed, I felt the sort of, you know, this pressure about trying to tell people, be careful of what you're watching. Here, when you sit hour after hour and you hear living, breathing human beings who you grow to respect, care for, tell you the stories, and you experience in your gut what corporate policies are doing. You know, I feel in my heart and my soul what it means that these people back in Bentonville are making some rule that people can't do this or can't do that, and what it does to a family, and how it helps pull and destroy families. You know, again, this is not what I consider American values. This is not what we should be. We should not let a corporation do that to us. So I think I feel it more humanly, because I see these people's faces in front of me, and the responsibility to get that story out there is one that, you know, has me down to 4 hours sleep a night. So.
And back to the evil Smiley one more quick time. Does somebody have a patent or have a copyright to the smiley face? Is this something that Walmart owns, or and have they responded to the evil Smiley?
They haven't responded to the evil Smiley yet. I'm sure there are many Walmart employees who are secretly emailing us suggestions for what to call evil Smiley, and to all of the Walmart employees, we particularly want you to get involved. No, in classic Walmart fashion, there was no copyright ever purchased, and they've just been using Evil Smiley over these years.
And finally, in terms of how soon this film is going to be out, how soon that people can have access to the film Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, how soon?
Well, the film will be available in the beginning of November, but again, if you want to be part of the campaign and do some work and have some fun and exert your power, go to walmartmovie.com now and you can start to get involved. Or it's not too early to sign up for the screenings because we're making these plans. But the actual copies, the actual physical copies, will be in everyone's hands in the beginning of November.
And is your friend's son that brought this story to your attention, is he still working for Walmart?
No. Fortunately, he's been able to leave and get a job at another retail company, which actually pays health care and pays benefits, and it's a world of difference. He walks quicker, his smile is brighter. You know, again, it's such an example of how much, what an emotional and practical difference working in an environment where you're paid for your work in an equitable manner, how that reverberates through all of us.
Where you don't have to look over your shoulder.
You don't, exactly, and you don't have to whisper. And you know, if something should happen, you're working hard, and therefore your hard work, you will be taken care of.
And Robert Greenwell, what's the website address one more time, please?
It's walmartmovie.com.
Robert Greenwell, director, joining us from Wyoming, director of Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price. I'm excited.
Thank you. I look forward to talking to you when it's out.
All right. Take care. Okay. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Oh, there's just so much to do, isn't there? There's just so much to do. We'll be back tomorrow. It's another exciting day tomorrow. We look forward to talking to Nancy Keehan of NARAL. Guess who George Bush is talking to about who should be on the Supreme Court? Jerry Falwell. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking to, we've been hearing a lot about suicide bombers. They're on the front page of every newspaper that I'm looking at this morning. We have an author, Robert Pape, that's going to be talking about what a suicide bomber really is, how many there have actually been, and the impact of real suicide bombers out there. Also, we're going to be talking, that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, and I'm going to leave the rest as a surprise. So, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. Until tomorrow, stay tuned.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother. Stop listening.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Confessed bomber Eric Rudolph is in a Birmingham courtroom this morning pleading guilty to bombing an Alabama women's clinic in 1998. A police officer was killed in that attack, and Emily Lyons, a nurse, was seriously wounded. She'll have the opportunity to confront Rudolph.
He did not accomplish what he set out to do that day. You know,
The clinic is still open.